day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Here's the thing. We would like to.
He's doing that because you look like a rap star.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, homie. I'm a leprechaun rapper.
Yeah, I'm dressed in green. We would like to talk to
more of you.
I
make fun
of
the way Adam's dressed. You know you got a problem.
I like the outfit.
Thank you. It's an ensemble. But anyway, we'll continue. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. And good morning to Brian.
Yeah.
We would
like to talk to more of you. Overall,
yeah.
The edict has always been more phone calls, but we get going and then you guys don't call in and then we don't talk to you.
There's a couple
of areas there. We get talking, and I'm going to speak for both of us, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I personally feel I'm fascinating. The other problem is I happen to feel, for the first time ever, you know, I think the other guy's fascinating. Mm. And I think you're really interesting. So we get going, and I forget we got a radio show to do. So if I could just pull second, third, or fourth in command and go, hey, Teresa, when those things start to light up, wave and let us know. Because that was so fun yesterday. We must have talked to 50 people yesterday.
Yeah, we got a lot of phone calls, and it was fun. And I never minded. It makes my job easier. It's just we get going on topics. People don't call up because we're sort of mowing them down probably as fast as you decide to start
calling.
This
is amazing.
We're on to the next topic.
That's what I've said. I said Carolla is a little too bright for his own good sometimes, because in radio, what you normally would do is set up a premise with some possible holes in it.
Right.
Then the phone calls come in to agree or disagree with you. Then you wrap it up and go to your break and come back with your next thing.
Right.
Carolla sometimes sets up scenario and then goes, and then fixes it completely.
Well, you know what they do? Here's what they do. If you guys listen to talk radio, the guy will get up there and he'll say, I don't see the difference between a massage therapist and
a whore,
a prostitute. 866-901-M, disagree. They come to your home. You disrobe in front of them. They lay their hands upon your naked body. 866-901-AM if you disagree. There's no difference. As a matter of fact, it just should be the same job. Massage whore.
Right.
Or a prostate therapist.
The phone lines are already lighting up, Adam.
866-901-AM. This is what they do around. Now, you're driving your car. And you think, does this jackass really not see the difference between this therapeutic service and getting a massage? Ah, you thought it was going a different direction. No, does this jackass not think? And then the person who's a massage therapist, who's a Christian mother of three, married for 21 years, is now steam is coming out of her. How dare this guy thinks I'm a prostitute? And then the first person calls in and they're like, you're naked. They're rubbing oil on your body. It's a sensual experience. There's money exchanged. No difference between prostitution and getting a massage. And everyone goes nuts and calls in. Now, the guy who's saying it doesn't believe it.
Right. He's trying to get a rise out of the callers.
Right. Thus, get you to call in. My problem is I can't do that because then it makes you guys think I'm a jackass that doesn't know the difference between prostitution and physical therapy.
Right.
By the way, the answer is fluid.
That's the difference. Yeah. That's
Thank
right.
You
and that's so why would you bother to do call-in when, you know, a couple of syllables wrap it completely up?
We've got our first call.
Alex?
I know, but Alex is stupid.
Gee, why don't we get more callers?
Alex?
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening, Alex?
Hey, I just wanted to see what's going on with you guys. Love the show. Danny, he's a good guy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course.
You.
Teresa, of course, you're hottie. And Bri. Even Bri's got to get a hello.
Oh, you're so sweet, Alex.
Oh, no problem. Hey, when are you guys going to come out here in L.A., do a live show in Camacho's? Last time I went out was a Christmas show, and it was killer. And I just wanted to know if you guys are doing it anytime soon.
I have to say, Adam, I've been meaning to say that since Christmas. You were great that night. Adam was amazing that night in front of about 1,000 people.
You know what? Don't kiss my ass.
You were good.
No, I mean it. You know, I don't really mean it, but what I'm saying is Sometimes people go, oh, Teresa, she disagrees with you. She just kisses your ass. And I think, well, I'm always right. Of course she would agree with me. She's an intelligent, thoughtful person who's sitting next to a super genius. What is she supposed to do?
And then the flip side of that is to disagree with somebody who knows they're right and is a super genius.
I sometimes disagree. Although that night, I remember thinking, this is really difficult having to be in front of this many people and keep the energy up for 4 hours.
It is the live shows are
Kiss Rodeo.
Thank you. Well, anyway, if you disagree with me,
yes,
always feel free to voice that. Not on the air, of course.
No, but that's what I was going to say. That if we all agree that Adam is some kind of super genius, and then you disagree, then you're an idiot. And you don't want to do that to yourself either.
Well, the thing about it is this is for Danny, Teresa, the callers, anybody and everybody who listens to this show. If you disagree with me, I have no problem with that, as long as you can articulate it. If you just go, I disagree, and then you go, well, why not? And they go, you just keep repeating, I disagree, then that's no good. That's bad radio. If you can put it into words, it's sort of like this. It's like when somebody says, I think I know, a little flashback to Rachel Perry. When somebody says, when you go, I think this band sung this song, and you go, no, that band didn't sing that song. And then you go, well, what band did sing that song? And they go, I don't know. I just know that band didn't sing that song. That's not a good answer. It's unsatisfying. If you guys, callers, Teresa, Danny, or anybody within the sound of my voice wants to disagree, I love it. I welcome it. It's fine. And I don't mind being turned around. I don't mind going, you know what? I never thought about it that way.
I'm one of the few guys.
Bent over and turn around. Just turn around, you
I'm
idiot.
One of the few guys, and I didn't know you did that, actually, to be honest with you. But I'll all the time go, oh, dude, I totally never thought of it that way. You really have a point there. I'll do that all the time because I don't think I have all the information. I think I have all the information that gave me my point of view. If somebody has more and it's better, I'll go, well, dude, I was totally wrong. But if we were to say, like, for example, corporal punishment, not spanking your kids and not spanking, having the principal spank your kid in school, has lowered the standards of behavior and manners of our children today. Mm-hmm. I think children should, in fact, be spanked, not beaten, but they should be spanked. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I gave out the phone numbers right now, we'd get a decent amount of phone numbers, calls that would agree and disagree.
Right.
I also think for our show, I think 0.08 as the illegal driving, you've had too much alcohol, is if you're a dwarf lightweight.
Right.
Mel Gibson got pulled over at 0.8 and said crazy crap. Right. I could perform brain surgery at a 0.8.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wuss. Is that, you should be allowed to drive.
You should have a handicap like in golf where your individual alcohol
level
is set.
They should raise it up to a 1-2.
But you just said Mel Gibson got pulled over.
Like Mel Gibson's an idiot. He said stuff he shouldn't have said. I don't know.
Wasn't the booze talking.
It may or not have been. It's just not enough booze talking.
But the guy gets pulled over at the mark you say doesn't affect guys like us, and the guy seems hammered.
Right.
So thus, it'd be good for us, but not great for the rest of the populace.
Only because I do this to you a lot, too. Only because Mel Gibson is the exception to the large rule. Any reasonable-sized person, including a woman, should be able to operate a car or heavy machinery at a 1.
Hold on. I disagree. I'm with Teresa Strasser in the golf handicap.
That's embarrassing enough for you, isn't it?
As I always called it, my heavyweight designation, which is I know people that get drunk, and regardless of the amount, although the more you drink, the worse they get, and they black out and they freak out. I'll guarantee that cop, you know, that was Chicago cop that was beating the crap out of that barmaid all over the news.
Didn't have a point.
That guy was blacked out.
Yeah.
I guarantee he wanted to be served. She said he's already been overserved, which meant the guy was blottoed. And I bet when he saw that tape on the news, it was probably the first time he saw it or the first time he was aware of it.
To be honest with you, he's still not. I didn't know this till something happened to me not too long ago. That he may not recognize it still. Like, he may kind of try and deny it in some way.
Right.
Because it's so unbelievable.
Some people do this. There's this thing where whenever you drink, you get removed from reality. There's not a human being that doesn't drink that doesn't get removed from their state.
That's its purpose.
That's right. Whatever state you walk around in, it removes you. I, when I get drunk, I just go one state over. I go to Arizona. Some people go to Montana. A lot of folks go to like the Aleutian Islands and stuff. I mean, they drink and they go way. They're not in the United States anymore.
I've seen you drink a couple times, and sometimes you actually go from Los Angeles to a smaller city.
That's right. I'll go to Riverside or Ontario. Yeah.
How about this? We go to the phones because Brad's on the phone.
Well, what you doing? Beating our kids, getting drunk, or both?
Brad loves the show. But here's what,
beat Brad to death, spoil the child.
Just to sum it up, if you're one of these guys that drinks, and when you move away from your hometown, and that's what you do when you drink, I'm speaking metaphorically, when you move away to your, then you go to a smaller and quieter town like I do, it's fine. If you go away and you go to a fireworks show in a different country.
By the way, and there were no fireworks and you had a match.
You should not be drinking. Yes, Brad?
How you doing?
What's happening, Brad?
Just waiting for the sun come up so I can get to work.
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
Electrician.
You do the commercial stuff?
Oh, yeah, commercial stuff, doing a big hotel out here in Ontario.
Oh, you want to talk about, Matt Helm. Yeah, life in the fast lane.
Matt Helm.
Yeah.
Do you listen to the show, Brad?
Yes, every morning before I start work. Love the show.
Thanks.
And I'm on a Bucci, too.
Do you have a long commute, Brad?
No, about a 50-mile commute. Not too bad.
Well, that's pretty good. How long does it take you to get into work?
About 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about, I've always enjoyed talk radio. That's why I've always wanted to stay in it and always thought it was, like, somehow more important than television.
I agree 100%.
In terms of whatever knowledge, if I think about the last 20 years of my life, I've definitely learned more from listening to people on the radio than I have from watching people on TV. I've been entertained by watching people on TV. Right. But in terms of being changed as a person, my knowledge base, how I've been possibly shaped, that has come more from radio 10 times over than TV.
Radio is so real. Like, for example, the kind of TV I watch, I know everything about the friggin' pyramids. Can you back up with the pyramids, please? Mm-hmm. I know everything there is to know about the revolution, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I know a great deal about stuff. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you turned A&E or the Discovery Channel or the History Channel and watched an old lady shave the red pubes off an ex-child star?
Wow, not since Sweeps.
Yeah.
Talk
radio.
I wish I had seen that one-hour biography on Danny Bonaducci. But
there's another one coming, a new one.
I did see it.
You did?
I didn't see it. My wife said it wasn't very good. It was kind of tabloidy. They went a new style.
Let's see. Well, they got all the information out, although I didn't know at the time if it was true or not because I was just digesting what they were feeding me. You know, if you were watching it, you probably would have made 150 corrections. I love, though, I'm a sucker for all that stuff. I mean, to me, I don't even understand fiction when there's so much reality around us, and that reality is so interesting.
I read a lot of historical novels, usually about the Roman Empire, and everybody that is in it is real, and I know them, and I know their backstories. It's just they weren't lovers or something like that, but it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, memoir has become way more interesting and sells better than fiction.
Well, let's beat some more drunk kids.
Not only that, but it's you know, everyone's story is... You may not, here's what I'm saying. I watch Biography Channel all the time.
Me too.
There can be a topic that you're not interested in, I don't like country music. I'm not a country music fan.
Exactly,
I have nothing against it, but I don't sit around and listen to it. But they do Hank Williams Jr. and they talk about where he grew up and what happened and the accident and falling off the mountain and he'd never sing again and the woman he loved and the woman he divorced and it's riveting.
Riveting.
And you realize with almost without exception, every single person they're talking about, and they're talking about them, thus they're a celebrity, you know. I mean, there's no such story on those biographies as, James Dean was born with a silver spoon in his mouth into privilege and began a successful acting career at 2 months, and everyone knew from the word go that this man was a star. It's always rejection. Right. It's always kicked around here, lived with this roommate in 800 square feet, used to walk down and worked as a bartender. And I like these people, and you're going, Bruce Willis? Worked as a bartender. Right. What was that's brutal. Like as if somebody
in
1982 was going to look at a 23-year-old Bruce Willis and go, "You don't have to bartend, dude. You're Bruce millions. Willis." And nobody knows who Bruce Willis is before Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis or Hank Williams or James Dean or where the list is as long as your arm. But they all started Al Pacino.
Doing
it's like it's just nothing, and some agent tells them to hit the bricks. You know. Some agent that couldn't even get a phone call into them today tells them they don't have it. They need to move on.
I'm going to give you an old cliche. That's an oxymoron or redundant. But I'm going to give you a cliche that I think somebody just didn't finish. And this is why you and I have nice homes and things are going well for us. Here's the cliche. There's 8 million stories in the Naked City. Ever hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, here's what they should have said. There's 8 million stories in the Naked City. But only 7 people who can tell them. And that's why we do what we do. Because people call us up with the most I shot my girlfriend. I had to go to jail. And then my meth lab blew up. And they ruin the story. It's like, how can you ruin such a beautiful story?
Yeah. Well,
so it's what it is. It's being able to tell that your life is fascinating, whether you work in a factory or you're a movie star.
Hold on. Since it's disagreement day, can I just say this? I think it's also interesting to be able to listen to people when they call and to give them a chance to be interesting, because sometimes they're nervous. So they can't quite, thank you. They can't quite get to the meat of their story because we cut them off and they're nervous and they're not professionals.
Yeah.
My point. That's because
they're not professionals. Yeah. No, there's a balance to be struck. Yeah. I'm curious. Is it 7 people and us, or are there only 5 other guys beside us who can tell the story?
Good point.
I wasn't counting everyone in the room.
And what? I mean, but it's me and you, right, buddy?
Sure, Adam. It's
this is uncomfortable. I said, he said me and him. Wow.
Well, you gave us permission to disagree.
I'm saying if we can find those other 5 guys.
You know, if you go to like Esther House used to be able to tell a story, or maybe somebody just fixed him because he's a hack now. But there's okay,
Joe Esther House.
Yeah, in real life, everybody is fascinating. I actually wrote a show. Nobody ever bought it. It was years and years and years ago when I was really high, but I still thought it was interesting. And it was called You Never Know Who You're Talking To. And I got the idea from the guy that owned the gas station next to my house. His name was Yule. Mm-hmm. And he had to go back to Israel to get a bullet removed from his stomach. And I said, well, will you get the Purple Heart while you're there? And he looked at me and goes, I'm in the Israeli army. Every other soldier gets shot. We don't have enough metal to give out masks.
Really?
And I went, wow. And then I realized the hot dog vendor across the street from the Van Nuys court had been in a Russian gulag.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you never know who you are talking to. Mind your manners. Be polite. Ask a question.
Well, especially in this country. I mean, if you went back to wherever Yule and the gulag man came from, you could at least live in a group that wasn't as spread out as we are. I mean, with us, you got a guy who's driving your cab who used to be a doctor wherever he was from. I mean, these people start talking to Oswaldo about his days in Nicaragua, and he'll spin you yarn. It's easy just to drive past these guys. Hey, look at that guy. He's got a rake in his hand. He must have been born with a rake in his hand. Oh, no. He was born somewhere else, and he may have had a scalpel in his hand.
Born with a silver rake in his mouth.
That's right. We'll take a that's what I call my junk, by the way, the silver rake. Weed and seed. That's what I do in the bedroom. We'll take a quick break. Quickly, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Travis?
Hey, Adam.
You say the problem is is with the call delay?
Yes, that's a major, major problem with trying to get into you guys with information.
Oh, by Brian the time you hear us, we've moved on to something else.
We're on a full 60-second delay.
Oh,
have you ever heard of that?
Oh,
wow.
I never thought about that.
I've never heard of anything longer than 8 seconds.
This is a good point, Travis, because a minute passes by and we're 12 topics away from why you called.
Well, and there's also the screening, the actual response time, and getting through all the other people. I mean, it's
the system's broken down.
That is That is a sincere problem. That's a real issue. I mean, we have to have a 7 second delay at least, because people do slow and go, God, she made me so effing mad. And then we get beeped. And then Adam says, oh, I got beeped. And we recap. And what happens is we have to reestablish that 7 seconds. So if somebody were to curse again, it would go on the air. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard of more than 8 seconds.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Oh, yeah.
And then by the time you have a chance to say something, guess what? It's time to go to break.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
That's a really valid point.
Hey, Travis, we got to take a break. But I appreciate that. We will.
Yeah, we should address that.
Attempt to address that. And then when you have a minute delay, when you dump out, how does it work? Because when you hit the dump button with a minute delay.
I was just wondering that. It must be confusing.
No. What happens is it doesn't use the whole minute.
Right.
It uses sections of the minute.
Right.
And what it does, if he pushed it right now, like I said, hey, Teresa.
Yeah.
Okay, that split second before you said, yeah, it sucked up and made that, it started to build
back. Yeah, it seems to chop out about 7 seconds or whatever it is. Either way.
So we expect a guy with Tourette's syndrome to call up one day, and that's why we have done 60 seconds.
Well, let me say this. Again, this part where we punish ourselves, it's like we talk about with the terrorists. They blow something up every 5 years, but every 5 seconds, every day of every year, every airport times 1,000 across this country, we pat ourselves down. We probe ourselves. We turn on ourselves. Again, the terrorists never have to blow up another building, and they never have to shoot another civilian. We will spend billions a year, and it will cost hundreds of millions of man hours every year. Everything involving business, involving travel, involving commuting, involving every facet of our community. I don't know. You know, when they do this thing where they go, well, each year in Southern California, people waste such and such $1 billion in lost productivity because of the commute, because of the traffic situation. People are spending time in their cars. They're not spending time at work, whatever it is. I don't know if anyone can even accurately figure out a number of how much money, time, and productivity this country loses every year because of the threat of terrorism. It well outweighs whatever, you know.
It isn't terrorism.
We could take down 3 American trade center buildings a month, and it would probably not be more expensive than what we spend on the lines and on the what have you. All right, so we impose it on ourselves. We put in speed bumps. We put in child protective safety, this and that. We have to fight with everything. Now we're doing the same thing with the FCC. Howard Stern and Janet Jackson spun out of control a few years ago, and we just started kicking our own ass. Jack Silver's paranoid about it, rightfully so.
And so are his bosses.
And so are his bosses.
I did a lot of CBS stations, and I never saw anything like it.
And meanwhile, no fines have been levied in the last few years, as far as I can tell.
Nope.
Let's put it this way. I've been saying horrible things on the radio for well over a decade. I've never paid out a penny.
Me either. I've had
several hundred thousand conversations about it. I've had many, 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 here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen to you. Here's what's going to happen to us. Many threats, a lot of Chicken Littles running around with the sky falling around them. But have we ever paid a fine? I mean, Stern paid some fines, and Janet Jackson and whoever. We are kicking our own ass, scared of something that, to my mind, hasn't happened in my 12 or 13 year career of saying horrible, filthy things on the radio. So,
well, I just want you to know, interestingly enough, all of that may come up today.
Well, we shall.
I hit a speed bump while listening to Don Henley, and I thought, I'm going to go into work and I'm going to shoot him in the face.
Well, we will. We will do a little more March Madness, speaking of that, today. But
kick them when they're up, and I hit my street's covered in speed bumps. Kick them when they're up, hit the bump. I said, I'm shooting Carole in the face the second I get there. Oh, I don't have a gun problem is a problem.
Mark Wahlberg, perhaps you've heard of
him. He's got a gun.
I know, shooter.
Shooter.
Yeah.
He's calling up. We'll talk to him next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
My people are out there. You're not going to see them. You're not going to hear about them. You will not ever
know the identity of undercover people. Unfortunately, this shithole has more leaks than the Iraqi Navy.
Yourself.
I'm tired for my wife.
How's your mother?
Good, she's tired for my father.
And now Mark Wahlberg is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Mark was on, and now he's off, but he'll be back in just a couple of minutes, or so it says up on the screen. So I got an idea, since it's Friday.
Oh, crank yankers.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Sort of. Yes, crank yankers on MTV2, a resurgence on MTV2, backed by popular demand. And speaking of popular, first call we'll hear will be from Sarah Silverman. Incomparable. Sarah Silverman is Hadassah Guberman, as she calls her perfume counter at the department store.
Ladies fragrance, this is Diana speaking.
Hi, Diana. I was in your store recently, and I got sprayed by the perfume counter.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want it on me, and now I have a terrible rash all over my vagina.
What? Where did they spray you?
Well, she just sprayed me in my midsection, and it got swollen and red, and it's a rash. I mean, I know a rash. I've gotten like 10 in the past 6 months. And
do you happen to know what fragrance it was?
It was a bottle. It was like the lion or like Oprah, kind of a weird big head on it. It's just when I put on perfume, I want to smell nice and fresh. I don't want my vagina to break out.
Right.
You should see my vagina. It looks like...
You know, I'm sorry. I don't know how it ever got there because certainly you were dressed when you came in here. I don't know what to tell you.
Do you not believe me? I mean,
I don't understand why it would be breaking out there if you got sprayed in the department because you don't have that exposed.
I did get sprayed in the department, in the vagina department.
Nice.
How could you get sprayed there, ma'am? Do you know where the vagina is? You'd have to take your clothes off.
I was wearing bikini bottoms because I was walking from the dressing room to show my sister the bikini. I was, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I got sprayed. This woman chased me. I mean, and it's not the first problem I've had, by the way, in that store. One time I was changing in a dressing room, and a man dressed as a clown just burst in. And he was also a Nazi sympathizer, and I'm Jewish.
Can I take your name and number and have someone call you?
No. This is something that I need to deal with at the perfume counter. I mean, this woman had a crazy look in her eye, and it was embarrassing.
Well, honey, unless you can tell me who it was or what she looked like, I can't help you.
She kind of looked like Margaret Thatcher, but with a scrunchie.
I have no idea who you're talking
about. She's the one that's spraying everybody's vagina.
Hon, I'm sorry. Unless you want to talk to a manager, I can't do anything more for you.
You know what? Why don't you give me your name?
No, I gave you my name. My name's Diane.
Oh, what a fun name. Diane, the Greek goddess of vaginal rashes.
Ma'am, I can't even discuss this with you.
Can I just ask you, are you hiring?
Hiring who? Wow. Hiring people?
Yeah.
You mean the store?
Yeah.
Of course, we're always hiring people.
I'd love to work at the perfume department because I can hit a vagina from 50 yards away.
Me too.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm really tired of this discussion. If you have a problem, call the store manager.
Would it be okay if I used you as a reference for the
Absolutely
application?
Absolutely not. This conversation is ended.
I like the nail filing.
I can...
Bathroom.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a nail.
Oh...
Yeah.
I
can guarantee you the "Are you hiring?" came from me or somebody else with a dry erase board holding it up over our head.
That.
Because when you start to lose the mark, you know, when you start to lose the mark,
you'll throw
something out, you can get them back very quickly.
Like the improv thing?
Yeah, like you'll call up and you'll be like, hey, do you guys have any? Hey, do you want any? Hey, do you need any? The guy will be like, no, thanks. Listen, buddy, I'm really like, and then you go, I got cash. Oh, well, where are you located? You see, it's like you have to do these things that knock. It's almost like a fast rewind. It's like you're losing the person. It's going to end. It's about to end. It's like you're watching TiVo and it's a 30-minute show and the TiVo says 29 minutes about the end and you just punch rewind 3 times and you're back at minute 14. You just hop back.
Right.
Throw cash out. Throw are you hiring out?
Because I've never done improv and sometimes, I must tell you in all honesty, I don't really like get it.
You're doing it right now, Danny.
Yeah.
We're all doing it.
Don't freak me out. Don't freak me out.
You saying don't freak me out unless it's written on a teleprompter. Okay, sorry.
The next thing out of your mouth is improvised.
But sometimes you'll throw in something that makes perfect sense. Like it's a rule that you learn and you went, oh, that's right. That would help that. Mm-hmm. Can you throw in something random? If they say, we can't help you here, can you just say, you know, I caught a 28-pound trout once.
Yeah, anything will work. Speaking of random, by the way,
yeah.
In improv, Mark Wahlberg is on the phone.
King of improv. Improv and abs.
Mark?
What's up, man? Danny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you been?
I am not kissing your ass when I tell you that I got a call. Now, I don't know if you know who Bill Simmons, the ESPN sports guy, is, but most white guys who are into sports read his column on ESPN. Uh-huh. I came home yesterday. There was a message on my answering machine that said, hey, Ace, how about we go see Shooter at Cinerama Dome tomorrow? 11:30. And I said, I'm in. And it was Bill Simmons, the sports guy. And we will beat the Cinerama Dome. As a matter of fact, we will beat the 220 showing at the Cinerama Dome because Bill bumped it back. He had a deadline to meet. So I will be watching your movie Shooter in about 7 hours at the Cinerama Dome.
Awesome.
Hey, you know, I made kind of an obvious gag when I answered the phone. What were we talking? Improv and abs. And first of all, I'd like to apologize because I'll bet you get that all the time from those Calvin Klein ads. Are you thrilled to be taken as seriously as you are now? Did you expect to be taken as one of the top serious actors working right now?
I didn't. And, you know, I certainly knew because of, coming from the music world and the brief modeling stint that it would be an uphill battle. But, Danny, all I ever wanted to do was be good. So I just focused one job at a time, and I tried to commit 110%. I didn't try to balance the music and the acting thing. This is what I wanted to do. And, I didn't use it as fuel. I just said, okay, if I get the opportunities, because I got a lot of real-life experience, and I was very good at BSing my way in and out of trouble, and, I just felt like those were the essential tools to acting.
So by separating it, you've sold 12 million pairs of underwear, 12 million albums, and hopefully 140 million pairs of tickets.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
You're doing a fine job, mister.
Well, I do remember was some years back when I was doing Loveline, and we had what's-her-name in there talking about Boogie Nights. Heather Graham. Mm.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
You got a crush on Heather Graham?
Man, no, but when she took that dress, that one piece off with the roll.
That was replayed not only on my TiVo, but in my mind. Many
it right now.
Many times.
Greatest hits.
But when she said, she was talking about another movie. This was 6 months before Boogie Nights came out. And I said, well, what else do you got coming up? And she said, well, I got another movie called Boogie Nights where I play Roller Girl with Burt Reynolds and Mark Wahlberg. And I said, Burt Reynolds, who just finished Cop and a Half, by the way. Marky Mark is the Funky Bunch in this one, too. And I was laughing, saying, you got to fire your agent. And this is probably the way people thought about Mark Wahlberg just a few short years ago.
A few years ago, yeah.
Right. Before
I certainly can put myself in that position to understand exactly where they're coming from.
Right. But now it
Oscar
is a different
nominated.
Day.
And Oscar nominated. That's right.
As long as we're keeping the ass kiss train a rolling, I love Entourage as well and want you to know.
Can we get you guys on the show? Danny, can we get you guys on the show?
It's cool with me, man.
I'll tell you.
I do TV water cooler. I'll do anything.
Mark, the closest I ever came to strangling my agent is, I think, about 9 or 10 months ago. He called and said, oh, by the way, they wanted you to play one of the guy's best friends, but I passed on it because I knew you were too busy at the time, so I just told him no. And I was like, when we play Vincent's best buddy? Yeah, but they were filming in Malibu, and it was a full week, and I know your schedule wouldn't take it, so I just passed on it. That was like a month ago.
That was why I was pretending I didn't know who you were at the LAPD golf tournament when your girl came up to me and said, hey, you want to talk to Adam Carolla? Because
yes.
We felt a little diss, but no, you know, people think that, we're going to, to try to portray them in some sort of negative way. But, I mean, when we ask people to do it, it's only because we love them. We're big fans.
Hey, Mark.
Legitimacy to the show.
Mark, yeah. I defy you to try and treat me in some kind of undignified way.
Well, Mark,
I dare you.
Who would you have Danny Bonaduce play on Entourage?
You know, we probably write in something special for him. I'm going to call those guys later on today, because if he would like to do it...
I'd suggest playing me and have me, like, all this rap I do about being sober and everything. I'd have it be crap that I'm drunk all the time and just sober up long enough to do shows.
It writes itself.
Listen, this is uncomfortable, but I kind of had my heart set on playing Bonaducci myself.
You can do it. You're a little tall, but you can do it.
Can I ask a Marky Mark a question about his the bad old days? There's a story out today that you and your buddies stole the same car 15 different times.
Yeah, well, what happened was...
sounded 12 years old just then. Well, no, what happened was...
Yeah, we stole this guy's car the first time. We busted the tilt steering, and, you know, we'd leave it in the neighborhood. We lived in the same neighborhood, and he'd get it back. He never got it fixed. So we would come down in the morning and take it, you know, but we'd always put gas and stuff in it. We'd try to hide it in the neighborhood, and he'd find it, and it just kept going back and forth.
That's more borrowing.
Can I make this observation? Because I never met anyone from that part of the country until about 5-6 years ago.
Boston?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I started running into all these Boston guys. A lot of the guys wrote over at Kimmel. The aforementioned Bill Simmons is a Bostonian guy.
Yeah.
It's another guy I'm going to watch the movie with today. He's a writer named Kevin Hinch, who's from that area. And all of a sudden, the last few years of my life, I've met a ton. I'm from North Hollywood, Mark, so I never met anyone. You know, Van Nuys was about as far as I'd ever met anyone from. And I would ask them to tell me stories of this mythical Van Nuys.
Yeah. That's the Venice of the Valley.
And they'd be like, we have a 101 freeway. They're like, we have a 101 freeway. But the thing is the Boston guys, and I also figured this out when me and Kimmel went to the Super Bowl when the Rams got beat by the Patriots a few years back. I'm sure you're still enjoying that.
Oh yeah.
I realized that Boston guys are a weird mixture of evil but smart, which is the blue collar guys I grew up with are stupid and they'll punch you in the face. The Boston guys will punch you in the face and then make you feel bad on the way down with a quick verbal tongue lashing. What is that combination of smart and physical? Because usually you either have your Neanderthal or you have the guys who will slice you up with their tongue, but they're not much good with their fists.
Well, that's why I've always said, you know, I don't know why I was the only one so far to come out of my neighborhood, because they're all quick-witted. They're all tough. I mean, everybody I know, my sister is tough. You know, my sister will punch you in the face.
I know. She has a mean right, dude. It's
so weird, because when I came out to L.A., that's why I got into so many altercations outside of Boston, because I assumed everybody was the same way.
No, right. There are very few hitters anymore.
Looking at you, you know, you better get them before they get you.
Right. I'll tell you the difference in every Super Bowl I've been to. Is after the Patriots won, you see, when the Rams won, all the people from St. Louis wanted to celebrate. When the Patriots won the next year, all the people from Boston wanted to make fun of the guys that lost.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the difference. All right, Paramount is calling us and telling us you must be going to plug Shooter.
But that's also us acknowledging we know this is not your fault and you'd like to stay with us all day.
I'm sure.
But I am having a lot of fun. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, anytime. Thank you, man. Mark Wahlberg, Shooter. Shooter out today. I'll be at Cinerama Dome at 2:20 with Bill the Sports Guy.
You just invited all your stalkers to come meet you.
Come on, come on down. Come on down.
It's the nature of stalking. They already know where he'll be.
Oh wait, we have a quick clip of Mark Wahlberg talking about me on a golf course.
From the golf course, interviewed by your one of your favorite people, Tracy Metro.
Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark. First of all, you are so cute. Can you give a shout out to Adam?
Yes. Adam, what's up, man? How you doing, buddy? Interesting looking gentleman on MTV. He's a bit simian, but so am I.
You think so?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Simian.
When I look up simian,
monkey-like.
I'm going to be so pissed.
Monkey-like, it means.
How dare you? I know what it means.
I'm from North Hollywood. But you know, who is that girl?
She almost had my job. She would be sitting right here, Danny.
No, she never had your job. She had your chair. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
God bless her.
So did that guy from American Idol. We'll take a... that was C. It's a little different.
Either way.
We'll take a quick break. Let's see. Do we want to do news or do we want to get into something? Maybe we should take some phone calls.
Yeah, let's.
How about we take some phone calls? What do you guys want to talk about? Has got a topic. There's a few things going on in the news we could prime people's pump with.
Throw me a couple of news topics.
I'll throw you this one. France is going to open up its secret UFO files, and The governor says that he saw one. I'm guessing the governor of France,
even though they had those.
And it is one of these things where we've talked about before. You go, well, I've never seen a UFO. I don't really believe in them.
I promise. If you go UFO right now, you won't be able to stop those phones.
That's the point. Uh-oh. You say, you read these, you think, and maybe it's just this little world we created for ourselves, but anybody I know, if they said I saw a UFO, we would make fun of them. Right. And anyone who said, oh, I've seen angels, or I've seen fairies, or I have angels floating over me, you think, oh, this is absurd. And then you open the USA Today and you realize 63% of Americans think there are angels and think they're fairies, and 72% of them think they've seen a UFO or they're out there.
Here's why I will go with you on UFOs, even though I have never seen one, although I would think it's quite self-centered of us for the universe to be as big as it is, and it's just us.
Right.
We just picked this little rock. But I didn't know that I had GPS in the car I'm driving. This, you know, this Nissan, this they sponsor me. I pushed a button and it came on. I've never had a car that had it. And a lady started talking to me and telling me to take a right in 0.4 mile. Like, she knew where I was going.
And then the anal probe.
It flipped me out so bad. How does she know where I want to go?
I'm telling my apocalyptic view of the future, Navageddon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where we have the evil satellite mixed with that new Lexus that parks itself.
Right.
Driving. You know, you get into the car. Just picture this on the commercial. Wahlberg, if you're listening, I got your next vehicle.
Right.
Heavy.
Nice.
Family hops into the car. They jump in. We see the door locks. Huh? What's that? Because they can unlock your car from the satellite.
If they can park it, they can unlock it.
If you got that OnStar service, you talk to the operator. She talks to the satellite, and boom. Your your GMC Tahoe or whatever it is, pow, it's unlocked. Boom, it's locked. All of a sudden, the steering wheel starts moving itself.
Right.
The autopilot kicks in. Next thing you know, you're hurling toward the Grand Canyon.
It's now the three horsemen of the apocalypse and Alexis.
That's right.
So we want people to call if they've had experiences.
I'm just curious I'm curious.
We send the three letters. They're going to call.
I'm curious what they think about the UFO thing. And how it pertains to Europe. You know, we're always talking about Area 51. Area 51 and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's interesting.
41's where they keep Buscemi movies.
And then we're going.
That was improv. I just tried it. And
yeah, see?
Then we're going to a break. But how about this? Dig this. Not only do we feel is because of our egos, hey, man, we're the planet, we're human beings, no one else exists. I mean, it's just us. But even within the United States, I feel that way. I don't think about UFOs over Europe. I never think about UFOs over Japan or anything like that. It's like, it's all about the United States. Right. Well, the United States is a small spot on the globe, and if you're thinking about things coming from different planets, why wouldn't they be over the ocean? Why wouldn't they be over Asia? Why wouldn't they be over Europe? So I'm curious, and again, this story stems from France, where the guy says they're going to unlock these files. I bet you if somebody opened up Area 51, if the government said, we're tired of all the speculation, all the stories of you, we're just going to open the doors and have tours through here, half the country would then stop believing in it when they found nothing but dust in the place.
Or not dough, because they opened it up, there must not be anything there. I won't even bother the driver.
I'm just curious what you think, if you've had an experience with one, and what your story is. 866-901-ADAM. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? Y'all ready to get schooled by Grandmaster Jack and the Furious Five? Although I'm thinking about changing it to the Furious 7.5. It's a reference to my penis, peeps. We'll talk to the creators of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale, Penn Jillette. And we'll keep going with our March Madness tournament. Today, Red Turn Arrows versus Meddling Program Directors. What the... must be some kind of a typo. Angie, put down the beer and get in my office. Late.
Thank you, Jack. It's Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, to be fair with producer Angie, the beer is just a chaser. The flask she's got to put down. takes the edge off.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Well, we were talking about UFOs, and we're talking about how France is going to open up its secret UFO file. And again, I'm so whatever-centric, I just feel like, oh, Europe? When did they get our UFOs?
Right, me too.
They have their own.
And aside from the 11 lovely cities that we are syndicated in, why would they go anywhere but L.A.?
It is absolutely amazing. If you ever want to think about your just sort of myopic view of the world and life as it exists, not only do we think UFOs can't exist, but I think they're only in the United States. It sounds weird to me. Now, look, I know Japan, you have giant lizards and giant moss and stuff yeah. like that. But, by the way, the idea
you
of
Raymond Burr over there.
You got Mothra. How out of ideas do you have to be for villainous creatures to come up with something called Mothra?
What is Mothra?
It's a giant moth.
That's
it's
what
literally
it is?
A giant moth. It's but like
then what's the turtle with no legs that then shoots rockets and spins?
That's Allegra. No, wait. No.
They have worse ideas. They had the smog monster once. Godzilla versus the smog
monster.
Wait, that's
monster. On Lost. They
had the smog monster. They had Mothra, and the turtle is Rodan.
Whoa, the Rodan, that's right.
The Great Impression.
Hey, what's that over there? Oh, yes. The track we were on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
No problem, buddy.
I'm just saying, when you pitch a giant moth. I mean, if you're at you're at that table, and a guy comes in and goes, "Look, people, we are fresh out of ideas for killer invaders of our planet here. What do we got, Bert? Yeah, what do you got, buddy? Stu, this is a giant. You're fired. Your ass is get your ass out of this door.
How many times have you been to a movie and said, "How'd they pitch that? Who got in the door and sold
that?" I never stopped doing it. And one day I'll get the people of Hogan's Heroes and I Dream of Jeannie and Mothra together. Oh, and the guy who came up with the UPS slogan, "What can Brown do for you?" And I'll get them on all room and I'll go, "Who did you know and what were you doing to him?" Artie?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
UFO. So anyway, France has opened its secret UFO files, and the former Arizona governor says he saw one in the 90s.
Well, he saw like 20.
What is your story, Artie?
Well, we were in Catalina about 2001, and a bunch of us out there about 11 o'clock at night when we were for the weekend, and we got a condo over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We all saw what we saw, and it's some kind of club you join when you see it. This light was going really slow across the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Really slow, and all started zigzagging left and right really quick, like an oscillator, and then it just took off. And we all looked at each other and said, "What the heck was that?"
What is the motivation? I mean,
I don't know.
As far as these guys go, there's a lot of this. Like, why would they want to be as secretive about it as we think they would like to be?
Maybe they're not. Maybe we catch them. Maybe we just happen to see it. Maybe we slip behind the line there, and then if they're aware enough, maybe catch them.
Yeah, maybe they're afraid. Maybe they see us, see them, and they run.
Yeah.
But it's weird because if they have the kind of technology that we think they have, which would be
advanced
and beyond ours, because they're coming from solar systems or galaxies that are beyond our own, otherwise we would spot them. If we happened along a planet, we're just as paranoid as the next organism. If we happen upon a planet, we would head on over.
That's
yeah.
True.
We would head on in. Why don't they
heavily
head on
armed.
In?
Heavily armed.
Maybe they are. Well, there's a bunch of TV shows they're living with us, maybe. Who knows?
Well, that's an interesting point because I remember thinking what a wonderful moment in...
Webmaster Billy.
what's that guy's name? That black dude. He's really charming. Not 4th of July. Oh, Independence Day.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Right.
Is that the one where they said, let's check the hot sheets, and they go and they get the National Enquirer, and it says UFO, was it?
Men in Black.
Yes. And says, let's go get the hot sheets, and it says UFO scene here, and he goes, these are the hot sheets? And he goes, these are always right.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance somebody knows something we don't know.
Bonaducci on the bottle again in UFO, seen over Central Park.
He was in both movies, and he was a pilot in one and a hero in the other.
Fair enough.
Bite me.
True.
And he caught a trout this big.
Let's talk to some cars.
What'd you see, my brother?
Oh, all right. Well, same thing the other guy was just saying right now. I mean, it's almost like, wow, did I really see that? We were in the mountains one night, me and a friend. And
Brokeback Mountain.
I mean, we're up by like Yosemite level.
And I wish I knew how to quit you.
We saw a bright light zigzag through the sky at speeds that were unbelievable, and it was so intense. It was like it came down like right above us,
And it's like, whoa, what was that? And then all of a sudden it just flew away, but it went zigzagging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I would have never believed it unless I had seen it myself.
And is that what he said? Younger. Enos, hold me?
Well, it rhymed with Enos. And yes. It was my. But you get it. All right, well, thanks, Chris. I started thinking, yeah, they always seem to come in the same shape. I would love it. We're always worried about the unknown. That's right. What we don't like.
The hell you know is better than the hell you don't know is the expression.
Yeah, I'll just get big and grand and bizarre for a second here. When I close my eyes, it means I'm getting heavy for those of you who are in the room.
Yeah.
We're so scared of change, and a UFO is the ultimate change. But I always say to people when they say, well, I'm getting a divorce, I'm pretty bummed out, or I got fired and I got to quit my job, or I got to move, or I have to whatever. Every time you talk to somebody where change is involved, my kid's going off to college, I'm getting divorced, I'm getting fired, I'm quitting, I'm moving, I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. I say, go back and look at your life. Go back and look at every chapter in your life. When has change been bad? Maybe it's been bad the day you heard about it, the day you heard about you're getting divorced, or the day you heard about getting fired, or whatever it is, other than cancer, obviously. It
yeah,
is
yeah.
What,
don't be ridiculous on this premise. I hate right. it when I do that with my wife, and she says, but what if?
What about when a vault lands on a guy's head? Is that kind of change good?
Flies down and lands right. yeah. Don't do that. Take the premise in general.
In general, in your life.
Oh, I will lecture you in this tone.
Everybody look back on it and think, when has change been a bad thing in your life? It is what life is. It's the essence of life. It propels you. It forces you to move forward. It's painful at times, but change overall is good. Now, I think everyone's freaked out as a whole about UFOs because it marks change in everyone's life in a pretty big way. But about now, I think we could use it.
Yeah, me too.
I've had an ass full of Iraq. I've had an ass full of Anna Nicole. I've had an ass full of Nicole Richie and her eating disorder. I've had an ass full of Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. I would love for something huge to happen that, by the way, was a world event.
I agree.
That brought the entire planet. And
because then you become a state rather than a planet.
Yeah, once in a while.
That was the theme of Independence Day.
As sad and pathetic as it sounds, when something like 9/11 happens, it's horrible for everyone involved. But there's a little feeling for a few weeks of, hey, we can put aside all this stupid talk about Eva Longoria getting spray tanned, and we can put aside all the Paris Hilton talk, and we can put aside all this sort of whatever's going on in the world that people are, and all of a sudden we can all just focus and sort of unite on one thing, and it puts things into perspective.
But there's a sad part of that, and it's what people hear when you're hearing something like that was a collectively brilliant and true statement. And do you know what part stuck in my head?
Corolla says
9/11 was good.
We need another.
It's
can you actually physically get an ass full
an impacted
of Nicole
ass
Richie? Or is there still going to be room?
I think I could squeeze her and at least
and a friend.
One of her lap dogs will start with.
The guy's giving a brilliant speech on the State of the Union, right. And that's what's stuck in my squeaky little dirty mind.
Ace, your ass is barking again. Oh, yeah. Shove a biscuit up there.
It's Tinkerbell. She's fine.
That's in my job description.
All I'm saying is wouldn't it be amazing if, let's call it Monday, because I don't want to screw up the weekend.
Right.
All of a sudden, something landed in Central Park, and the entire world just stopped.
Yep.
Everyone put down their guns. Everyone put down their explosive vests. Everyone who was praying to Allah or praying to God or praying to Bodhisattva or whoever the hell you were praying to, we all just stopped and we went, holy Christ.
Yeah.
And the world just stopped for 1 minute. And wouldn't it be amazing if they said, yeah, we went through this whole greenhouse thing about 2 million years ago and here's what we did to solve this. Now I'm grasping at stardust, but just something that made us all stop and look, and not only stop the Middle East and what's going on over there and American Idol and what's going on over here, but whatever petty differences you had with your wife or your husband or your coworkers or whoever, everything just stopped.
Yeah, I felt when the tsunami hit, it was obviously horrible and sad, but there was a moment when everybody was looking at the same thing and there was a communal sense.
Right.
Yeah,
Anthony.
A supermodel strapped to a tree.
Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Anthony, you're a jet pilot, you're a commercial pilot?
I'm a commercial pilot for Mexicana Airlines.
Uh-huh.
And,
does that count?
I want to make one point clear that I think our government keeps us away from it so we won't panic. Mm-hmm. Because as a captain, if I was to tell everybody on the right side of the plane, if everybody looks down there and sees that little light move real quick, that's a UFO. Well, I'd lose my job.
Well, you did see something?
Well, my co-pilot saw it first, mm-hmm. and he saw it off the 3 o'clock on his right, mm-hmm. and he told me, "Hey, you see that white light down there?" And I looked over, and I did. I saw it, and it was moving along with us, probably about 5,000 below us, maybe 30 to 40 miles, nautical miles, mm-hmm. far away. All of a sudden, it just streaked across in front of us at the same. At the same height, the same altitude, and the same amount of mileage. Now, for it to move that fast, it has to be one hell of a jet. And so, then the other thing is that it didn't shoot off. There was no exhaust.
Mm-hmm. No contrails or anything. So you as a professional aviator, in your professional opinion, because you know the characteristics of things that fly, that follow the rules as we know it, right. This didn't seem like that to you.
Yeah, correct. I mean,
all right,
know.
So now are you convinced UFOs exist based on this encounter?
Yeah, I mean, this is how we get our technology. We have, the technology that I fly. I don't think it.
It didn't. I mean, to guys,
it came from a bicycle shop.
Right. To guys, yeah, like the Wright brothers. For guys who know how an airplane flies, they know what the characteristics are,
right,
and they
absolutely.
Know what it can do and what it can't do.
Jet stream and all that. Yeah.
Quickly, absolutely. Eric worked at Area 51. He was in the Air Force. Eric.
Yeah, I did some work out there when I was in the Air Force about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What do you know?
There was nothing out there but test aircraft. So if they ever opened it up to the rest of the world, I think a lot of tinfoil hat wearers would be a little disappointed.
Ah, there are no UFOs.
By the way, just so you know that.
But thank you, Eric.
Me and Isabella and Gretchen and Dante watch that movie with Mel Gibson and the UFOs, and we all wear tinfoil hats. I swear to God, it's like a family thing. We all do it.
I was just thinking about that Twilight Zone. Do you remember To Serve Man? And it was a cookbook.
Yeah. It's a cookbook.
I know. Yeah, you're talking about Signs. You're talking about
Signs,
M.
Yeah.
Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
That movie, I want to punch him in his Shama sack for that movie.
I would punch him for a lot of reasons.
I know. That movie was good. The first half of Signs was good. Yeah. And then it turns out, hey, guess what? All you got to do is throw drinking water on these guys and you kill them. Or if you played a little junior college baseball, Louisville Slugger will take care of these guys. Now, here's the thing. You know what this planet looks like from outer space? It looks like one huge swimming pool. It's 70%
right.
water. So if you're a species that will be killed if water hits you, do not land in a cornfield where it's being irrigated.
Which, by the way, sprinklers.
Yes, there's more. There's no. Yes. You idiot.
By
oh, please, I want to punch
body?
Him.
What's a human body?
Shyamalan?
Oh, yeah, that's 70% water, too.
All I'm saying.
We're the wrong species on the wrong planet for those guys.
That movie was so much ado about nothing.
Dude, what
and
about
everyone,
the chick in the water?
Everyone bought
Lady
into
in
it. Yes, and M. Night is such a blowhard. And he puts himself in all the movies, which is confusing because this guy's in rural Pennsylvania, and there's a guy from Bangladesh, and he's like, hello, Mel Gibson. Hey, neighbor, how's the crop farm doing? And Mel's like, well, you know, it's been a drought. We have some trouble with the corn. Yes, my harvester and my silo is filled. And it's like, who is this guy who lives down the street? We're in Shaker Country, for Christ's sake.
Terribly sorry I killed your wife.
Would you like a triangle for your buggy?
To be fair, M. Night Shyamalan does not have an accent.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, no, he actually does.
This is radio, baby.
When he acts, he doesn't do it.
You got to disagree with you. I'm doing it.
He really has a very thick accent and doesn't do it.
And does have an alien. And here's his new root cellar.
He sounds like Apu now.
He ain't good enough to be Apu.
Would you like a Slurpee on your way out to me? Thank you very much. Come again.
I'm going to run a movie with six endings. Would you like a Slurpee?
The Sixth Sense was a great movie, and he can make 20 more crappy
ones. Okay, but Signs blew ass. ass.
What about Bruce Willis?
The Village.
You might have been a superhero. I'm fine with Village.
But Signs, and everyone I talked to was like, ooh, it's a pretty good movie. And then I went and saw it. It's like, the aliens were killed by drinking water in a baseball bat.
My kids loved it, so we put on the hats, and it was funny.
It looked good. It just wasn't good. We need to take ourselves a break. The opposite of Brian, by the way. We need to... No, hey, that's a compliment.
Take it in the spirit, which was
someone who looks good and is good. What's coming on the news, baby doll?
Well, there's a dog up Nicole Richie's ass. I don't know if you are aware of that. Also, we'll cover Anna Nicole and Dancing with the Stars. No, I'm kidding.
I am going to quilt later. Who wants to go quilting with
me? Have you heard about this fertility clinic that gave the wrong sperm to the parents?
Who needs to churn butter?
We'll be talking about that. Mm-hmm. And also, my favorite thing is bizarre 911 calls, and I've got a very good one.
I am tantalized, baby. We will do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Stockdale, Texas. A man was arrested for shooting his son in the leg after a dispute about a spilled bottle of whiskey. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, T, ready to rock the news, baby girl?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards held a press conference yesterday where he announced that his wife Elizabeth's cancer has returned. They're going to take it day by day. She has stage 4 breast cancer, which is considered a systemic disease, meaning it's no longer contained in one area, but it is spread throughout the body. He will continue to campaign. Here is a bit of what he had to say yesterday during his press conference.
The bottom line is her cancer is back. When the cancer goes from breast and shows in bone, which it's doing now, it's no longer curable. It is completely treatable.
I don't know anything about cancer, and I don't know if anybody does, because sometimes I hear them go, well, they have lymph node cancer, and I go, oh, all right, that's all right. Oh, no, it's a death
sentence.
That's the worst kind. And then it's like, well, they have breast cancer, and it's spread to the bone. Oh, so what do you think, about 3 weeks before we put her in the ground? Oh, no, she'll be fine.
Stage 4 is pretty serious.
No, she'll never get rid of it, but she'll treat it and she'll go on. I don't know what to make of any of this. All I'm hearing is you'll never get rid of it. It's in your bones, but with proper treatment, you should have a normal life.
It is incredibly confusing, and breast cancer is so common now.
And it's just
it seems like ovarian cancer is making a comeback. That sounds nice.
Which is it? I know it just there's some ones that you have described to you, and you go, I don't know if that's a death sentence or there's no problemo or we're going to take care of it with chemo or whatever it is. People, let's focus on this one. It's really the one I would love to see knocked off the list, the old cancer problem. All right.
Last night I was watching Larry King Live, and the guest was, Maria Shriver was hosting. One of the guests was this woman, Dr. Susan Love. She's sort of like the most renowned expert on breast cancer. And what she said was, you'll know when your cancer's gone, when you're cured of cancer, when you die at 97 of a stroke. That's when you'll know that you're done with cancer. That's how little, I mean, you can have a reoccurrence at any point if you've had cancer. And I guess that's why you never know. Like Elizabeth had cancer back in 2004. So a lot of well-wishers, including Hillary Clinton yesterday, who had some very nice things to say and wishing Elizabeth well.
Well, again, for those of you who think I'm some sort of a right-wing sympathizer, let's get going with the stem cell stuff, people. I cherry pick my issues when it comes to immigration. I'd like to toughen up the standards, but when it comes to stem cell, baby, bring it on.
Don't mess with Texas.
Absolutely. Now, here is a very bizarre 911 call out of Texas. Now, here's the thing. This man shot his wife. She may or may not be dead. And then he called 911. Mm-hmm. And his nonchalance is pretty mind-blowing. Here's the call to 911 after he shot his wife.
North Richland Hills 911.
That's it.
Hello?
This is Freddie Wilhite.
How can I help you?
I shot my wife in the stomach with 38.
What address are you at?
8432.
Is she still there?
Yeah, she's lying on the floor.
And what is your name?
Freddie Willhart.
Where's the gun at?
What?
Where's the gun?
It's in the closet.
What is her name?
Donna.
Is there anybody else there with you?
No.
Okay. Why did you do this?
She enticed me, and she would ridicule me throughout my lifetime.
Okay, and you're at 8432 Gifford?
That's it, baby.
Wow. Sound like he'd had a little nip of the sipping whiskey
there.
It certainly
did.
But it is amazing what happens under duress. Like, you ever hear these very eerie cockpit recordings of airplane pilots and the last recordings before the thing plunges into the ocean? And it sounds like, yeah, you know, this is 22 seconds before the plane hit the Atlantic Ocean at 700 miles an hour. It's like, yeah, we've lost all hydraulics and the ailerons and also in the vertical stabilizer. So if you could get back to us on some of the maintenance procedures, we'd be most appreciative. These guys are pros until they actually hit the ground.
But to the last second, till their voices are cut off.
Whenever you hear pilots talking back and forth, I swear to God, half the plane could be on fire. And these guys are like, okay, we got a little bit of problem here. We're going to need to turn back and foam the runway, please. We have emergency procedures in place. Really? I'm more animated when I'm ordering iced tea at a restaurant.
That sense of calm, maybe, when there's a crisis.
God bless them, but seconds before you die?
Well,
you start screaming something.
Yes, yeah. Praise be Allah. This is the last thing you're going to hear out of my mouth.
Well, a shocker about this Texas story. He lived in a trailer, and when police got there, his wife had a couple of gunshot wounds, and unfortunately, she did not make it. And he apparently felt he had been ridiculed his whole life, and he was ready to get rid of his wife.
Yeah, unfortunately. Fortunately, I'm sure they cranked out a few kids before she got put in the ground.
Well, in happier news, in the world of sports, some NCAA action last night. Ohio State beating Tennessee. Came back from 20 points to win that game, which saves my bracket and Bri's. Also, Memphis beat Texas A&M. Kansas beat Southern Illinois. But did UCLA beat Pittsburgh?
Bruin fans are on their feet. It'll be Kansas and UCLA with a right to go on to Atlanta in the Final Four.
Yeah, go Bruins.
Go Bruins. I should also mention in basketball news, big NBA night last night, Kobe Bryant became the first in NBA history to score at least 50 points in three straight games.
What?
Yes, since Elgin Baylor. First Laker to do it since Elgin Baylor did it back in 62. Will Chamberlain and Michael Jordan have also done
it. Didn't Kobe put together some sort of streak a year or so ago? Was it 40-something points for X amount of games?
Yeah, absolutely.
I must tell this to everyone who's ever laced up the high tops and bounced around the ball. To go to your local YMCA and dominate is a bitch. To dominate guys at that level is unprecedented. I mean, those guys are the most amazing athletes in the world. Everyone, do yourselves a favor one of these days. Grab a basketball, run it a 10-foot regulation high rim, and see if you can dunk it. Now you see these guys who have to move their head because it's going to hit the rim.
Right.
Now you go ahead and drop 50 points on one of those guys.
No, the guys, there are certain athletes in games that I don't care about at all, such as basketball.
Right.
That are so good, they transcend and become some sort of art form.
Yes. Yeah. Just go to a park league, have a guy who's 6'1 and scrappy guard you. He will block everything. Yeah. He will steal the ball. He will ruin your day. Now make that guy 6'8 and put him on you and see if you can light him up for 50 points. No. It's absolutely unbelievable.
There was a shot one time, and I'm sure it's the shot seen around the world, that the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
Michael Jordan was taking a free throw. And he didn't like the look of the guy standing next to him on the other team. Mm-hmm. He bounced the ball twice and caught it. Looked at the guy, looked at the basket, closed his eyes tight, and shot and made it. And I thought, that's possibly one of the most amazing. His career, his game, his team, everything's on the line, and this man knew he could make it with his eyes closed.
It's been done on the college level when Hank Gathers died out on the court. His teammate did it for him, too, and he made it as well.
Stevie Wonder did it once.
Well, I'll close with this, a story about a two-year-old girl named Jessica who is going to have crippling parent issues for the rest of her life. Mm. Her parents now have a lawsuit going. They're upset about the way she looks. Here's why. Her parents are white. They were having trouble conceiving. Mm-hmm. So the husband provided some seed, and she provided some egg. They went to a reproductive clinic in Manhattan, and their embryologist was supposed to fertilize the egg with the husband's seed. Unfortunately, there was a problem, because when the baby was born, she was clearly half black. Mm-hmm. DNA tests have proven that it was the wrong sperm. Mm. And that the father is not baby Jessica's father, so they're suing the clinic.
Chris Rock, are you listening? You got your next movie, baby.
Yeah. It's wacky.
It's wacky. It's blacky. It's got some seedy in it.
Well, they
love he plays a lovable janitor.
Yes.
Who just wants to get a little me time because he's working the graveyard shift over at the sperm clinic. And the next thing you know, baby's daddy. That's the name of the movie.
Baby's Daddy. Well, I should say that the lawsuit reads, "While we love baby Jessica as our own, we are reminded of this terrible mistake each and every time we look at her. It is simply impossible to ignore. We are forced to raise a child who is not even the same race, nationality, or color as we are."
And did they mention that she has a big fist growing out of her forehead, and that really throws them too? Because they make it sound pretty bad.
I know. Yeah, she's just not white.
Look, people adopt people of different race, ethnicity.
Angelina Jolie can't stop herself.
All the time.
Maybe Angelina Jolie can take baby Jessica.
Mm,
didn't baby Jessica fall in a well? I'm going to over baby Jessica.
I'd be PO'd if I were them as well. Yes. But now it's your kid and you love the hell out of that kid.
Yes, and I believe they have said that. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, coming up next, the controversial writer, producer of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. That was, you remember the whole scuttle a few weeks back.
I remember, but I think the meatball tried to describe it to me, so I didn't understand a word it said.
Dana Snyder also does the voice of the master of Master Shake in the movie. We will bring them in, and we should... Well, again, we'll talk about the movie, we'll talk about the show, we'll also talk about the controversy in Boston with the Light Bright signs being put up. I blame Boston myself, but we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Look, my doctor says I need to get as much rest as possible, okay?
Yeah, hey, get the fuck out of here!
And now the creators of Aqua Teen Hunger Force on The Adam Carolla Show.
Dave Willis, Dana Snyder. I got to say, this Aqua Teen Hunger Force, it has torn America in half at the seam. There's people who love this show, and there's people that hate this show. I guess that's better than people who don't care and haven't seen the show.
Apathy is the worst.
Yeah, we're not going to have like a soccer mom come to see the movie and say, gee, I didn't think I would like it, but it really grew on me.
You're going to have the people, and by the way, we're talking about Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the movie, the feature. It's out on April 13th. How did you come up with this? And it is one of these ideas that is so bizarre.
Yeah.
You must have been 10 kinds of high when you came up with it.
Fries and a meatball and a shake, and they live next door to kind of a pimped out fat guy.
What happened?
I've seen the show.
We were writing an episode of Space Ghost, and Space Ghost has no concept of. You guys were both on it actually.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's funny.
That was probably during a blackout period. But, So we were just kind of burned out on Space Ghost, and Space Ghost buys hundreds of dollars worth of hamburgers and builds a fort out of them, and then realizes he has to pay money for the hamburgers, so he works out some deal with the fast food company to have these corporate sponsors. And we never made that show where the Aqua Teens are just hanging out on the Space Ghost set, but we thought these were great characters. So
let's see if I got this right. You made a feature out of something Space Ghost wouldn't buy?
Right. Exactly.
Is Space Ghost ever coming back?
Because
I loved Space Ghost. And yeah, I did Space Ghost. And I guess Danny's done Space Ghost as well. It's a fun show to do. There's a lot of pretty big name celebrities, not me and Danny, but a lot of real celebrities on that show. And everyone seemed to enjoy it. It's been gone for a while. Is it ever coming back?
Maybe. Maybe if we ever get Tom Cruise to be on it, we'll probably bring it back out of hibernation. But it's a case-by-case basis.
And the whole Adult Swim phenomenon on Cartoon Network, it seems to me, and I'm just a casual observer, but seemed to start off with The Family Guy, which came back. And I was like, hey, The Family Guy's back on TV, and it's on the Cartoon Network, and they're doing the whole Adult Swim thing about 4 or 5 years ago. But am I right in that? Has Adult Swim been around for that long, or am I making that up?
Yeah, about 5 years. We did Aqua Teen. We did the pilot then, and they were trying to build this adult block, and they were terrified because it's a kids' network and worried that the galore and all that.
The whole Adult Swim thing is a very edgy, interesting, sort of bizarre twist for a state. You know, it's as if the place is a Chuck E. Cheese during the day and then a gay nightclub at night. It's like, and I feel like someone would go, look, I want to sell some beer at night, too. Why don't we just make it a nightclub? No, it has to be a bondage. It has to be a gay bondage. You're like, why can't we just start off by serving beer on tap and showing Raiders games on a flat? No, it's a bondage S&M night. It's a fetish club. You must have nipple rings and be dragged by your partner.
Are there limits to what
you
can do?
Yes. How did they go so nutty, and how did Cartoon Network get away with that?
They were they did massive tests. They would bring all these mothers in and ask them do these polls, do all this crazy stuff. Yeah. And they figured out that they didn't worry so much about the violence or vulgarity. It was Jesus that they were most concerned about. And maybe that was just
got to prioritize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They had them eating the burger on Friday.
So if you leave Jesus out, you'll be fine?
We have limits. I mean, S&P has these random insane
standards and practices.
Like they'll say the blood spray.
Right.
Yeah, the blood spray will have to be, you know, it can't be any more than 3 seconds. And we're like, well, what if when he gets decapitated, a rainbow comes out of his neck, you know, and then they're like,
you must find yourself having some of the most absurd conversations along those lines. Yes.
Like, say this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, one time Meatwad gets impregnated by Jesus on a billboard, and we were thinking, well, all right, let's just change his name to G-Wiz. Everybody will know who we're talking about, you know. So,
I used to have those conversations, as you can imagine, during the Man Show and Crank Anchors and shows like that. I would have those incredible arguments with the comically always older female executives explaining to them that panty waist was not a swear word, or that saying a chick smelled like a Russian whaling ship was not offensive to ladies. You know, we'd have these horrible, bizarre speakerphone conversations, but my greatest victory in that department ever, because once in a while you'll outsmart them. We were trying to do racist humor, or at least ethnic humor, on the Man Show, shockingly, and it was sort of like two Bulgarian women meet at a market. One holds up a potato and says, this one is dirtier than my husband. And whatever it was offensive. And they kept saying, it's offensive to Bulgarians. Two Bulgarian women get together and say, my husband, my husband, my husband. And we argued and we argued and argued. And then I stopped and I said, Debbie Liebling was our executive's name. I said, Debbie, what's your nationality? She was like, I'm Irish. And I said, what's your husband's nationality? He's Italian. I said, okay. I said to the other one, what's your nationality? She said, I'm French and English. And what's your husband's? It was something different. I said, how can it be offensive to the Bulgarians? We don't know that these Bulgarian women are married to Bulgarians. They may be married to another nationality. We all have parents that are from different places on the planet. And I whooped them on a technicality. That's I was good. Very
don't
proud of myself.
You should have.
Yeah,
been.
We were still clearly making fun of that one ethnicity. But I won on a technicality. Yeah. And that's what it's about.
I remember Woody Allen got out of this joke. He said, I once tried to commit suicide by inhaling next to an Armenian. All these Armenians got really mad, and I forget what he said, but he got out of it. And I went, that guy's a genius.
Yeah, we could have had an Armenian next to the car with the carbon monoxide. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. So obviously some controversy a few weeks or a few months back in the Boston area. To me, the question is not what did these slackers do wrong by putting up the light brights. It's how stupid can you be as a Bostonian official to think that this was a terrorist threat. Now, ultimately, $2 million was paid from Turner Broadcasting back to the city of Boston.
That's what I read.
Yes.
Did you guys have anything to do? Did you have anything to do with this marketing campaign personally?
No.
Lying bastards.
I heard people laughing down the hall, and I thought that song, I saw one of them, and I thought it was like something that a fan sent in, so I didn't know.
I wish you weren't a liar.
We do this thing in our society where we applaud everyone for doing overreacting all the time.
Right.
When somebody takes someone to the emergency hospital because somebody had a fever, all the other soccer moms say, hey, you did the right thing. Hey, that was fantastic. I'm the only guy who raises my hand and goes, the place is crowded. You're just clogging it up. Your kid's fine. Tell him to give him an aspirin and take a nap. Everyone does that whole thing with the whole Boston thing. Everyone got, what were those people over at Adult Swim thinking? You guys are retarded. They did it in 5 different cities, right? Or 10 different cities?
Yeah.
I mean, how long had this stuff been up in other cities before Boston did this? And why didn't they pick up the telephone?
My understanding was a couple of weeks.
Like 2 or 3 weeks?
In New York?
Austin, Texas.
Seattle.
Atlanta.
Chicago.
Here. Los Angeles. Yeah. The same campaign, exactly, done in the same guerrilla sort of way, and not so much as a rent-a-cop want to go inspect it because it was that obvious it wasn't. And we should all pray that our next terrorist attack comes with glowing lights around it and arrows saying, you know, I'm up here. it is ridiculous. And those people shouldn't have been having press conferences. They should have been humiliated. I mean, they should have been embarrassed and trying to sweep it under the carpet, shouldn't they have?
Well, elections are coming up at some point.
Yeah, my grandfather was an old-time showman. Like, he did vaudeville and all that stuff. And he used to say, if you screw it up, shine a spotlight on it. Mm-hmm. Don't try and hide a mistake. Make it look like part of put a brass band around it.
I think
that's what Boston did.
Yeah, but whenever I see footage of the robot... with the extendo camera in the arm, or the idea that they take one down and a guy who's dressed head to toe in Kevlar shooting it with a shotgun and exploding a light bright in the train tunnel, it just makes me think these guys are retarded.
Yeah. On the other hand, have you ever shot a light bright with a shotgun?
No.
Sounds bitchin'.
Well, let me ask Dave and Dana from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. There had to have been one really surreal day when you turned on the news and it was wall-to-wall coverage of this event.
Well, I was down in Atlanta when it started, and there was like 2 people in the conference room watching the news. Mm-hmm. I sort of walked by. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. There's something in Boston. And then like more people, then suddenly no one's working anywhere. Everyone's watching. Every TV is on everywhere.
I was going to say we have some clips of the conference, but please, Dave, make your point.
No, I just thought it was more of a media thing. I mean, Fox News especially, I mean, just seized on it, you know, like it's a hoax. I'm like, it's not that. Look up hoax in the definition.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it makes it sound like we created the scenario.
Here's the problem, and this is what I've been saying for a long time. We have 700 news outlets that are on 24 hours a day, and there's just not enough news. It is essentially like we have too many 7-Elevens open 24 hours a day and not enough cigarettes, beer, and soda to fill them. So we have to keep dancing.
Oh, it was a slow news day, and they, you know, yeah. And thank God that this astronaut in diapers came onto the scene.
Dude, that's right. If you hadn't paid that astronaut $500 to get in diapers
to run across the country with a hammer,
people would still be talking about
my career on Slow News Days.
Well, the coverage was incredibly overblown, and I think we do have some.
Yeah, let's hear some of, I think, the news conference or press conference from Boston.
Do you guys have any haircut questions for us?
What do you think about what happened yesterday?
You're going to get one. That's a very good question.
Thank you.
I think my dreadlocks are pretty nice, and they're going to keep growing for a little while. Maybe they'll reach my knees or something. I'm getting
sort of more due to get a haircut because getting my bangs now.
I've advised them not to talk about what happened.
How do you feel right now?
I feel like my hair is pretty perfect.
These guys didn't help their case by being confusing a-holes.
My mother-in-law keeps sending me, she's from my wife's family lives in Boston. She keeps sending me all the newspaper clippings of that guy. I guess he's also like a DJ, and every time he's going somewhere now, they put it in the paper of like, you know, Aqua Teen terrorist sign guy is going to be spinning records down at the Armenian festival.
Don't inhale.
Go down there and get on your mind.
Yeah. If you got a hook like that, I'm serious. Especially now that Boston's a small town. But I always like to say that in L.A., I'm a B at best, maybe a C-plus player. But in Duluth, I'm the Beatles, man. You see Danny Bonaducci spinning records tonight in Duluth at Chili's.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a line out the door.
Yeah. I mean, just the idea that the guy is the white guy with the dreads down to his waist gives him a certain recognition factor in the neighborhood.
Cachet. Oh, and they would do the close-ups on him and then put it in grainy black and white like he was from Al-Qaeda.
I know, and really, all those guys are just sort of antisocial nerds. There's a lot of angry nerds out there. But was this campaign for the TV show or for the upcoming movie?
I don't know. Honestly, I do not know.
You guys are left way out of the loop.
Well, Adam said you had to be 10 kinds of high. Were you up to 10 or more or less?
Yeah, because I'm good at this. 10 kinds of high is hard.
Eight, maybe.
Eight, okay.
My mother called me the day of the Boston thing, and she, had this halting voice. She never calls on my cell phone. She goes, "Did you do this?"
Yeah, I've gotten that call too. Buddy.
It is funny how your parents treat my parents treat my cell phone like Commissioner Gordon treated the bat signals. First off, this could be thousands of dollars a minute.
They don't know.
Secondly. If I want to get off the phone with one of my parents, I just tell them I'm in my car and I'm driving, and they're like, "Oh no, you can't drive!" And they act like I'm in the space shuttle.
Wow, do we all have our own cell phone line? I'm going into a underground parking.
That's good. If you want to get off the phone with your mom, you just tell her I'm on the freeway right now, mom, and she'll go, "Okay, pull over," or just which. By the way, what's more dangerous? You sitting in your car while drunk truckers are going by at 80?
See, this is where our mother's different. I can say, "Mom, listen, I'm going 80 and I got a fifth of Jack in my lap, but I just want to send you a check. I need your zip code right now."
You know, it's a really nice
okie dokie.
Really nice thing I've been trying to get people to do for years, and I think it's finally catching on, which is when you get the phone call on the cell phone, no matter who it is, whether it's your mom or it's someone you barely know, nothing makes them feel better than you going, "Hold on. Let me get rid of somebody." Then you just put, I'll do it that way. You know, I called my agent yesterday and I was like, "Hey, baby doll, it's the Ace Man." He's like, "Hold on, baby doll, hold on. Hey, brother." And I thought, who did he get? Was John Stewart on the line? Who did he get rid of? So here's what I do. Anytime you call me on the cell phone, I'm not talking to anybody, right, but I'll just do that. "Hold on, let me get rid of somebody." And I'll just go, "One Mississippi." "All right, what's happening, brother?" And the person immediately perks up. They feel great. You've never felt better than when someone dumped someone else. Now, you never ask. They'll never go, "Who was less important than me in your eyes?" They just go, they're just renewed. They're excited.
By the way, it costs you nothing.
Costs you nothing. It takes about 3 seconds, and whoever you're talking to feels on top of the world.
It's a little pluses.
The little pluses.
The little plus to make it all worthwhile. Yeah. Okay, now can I ask you a very serious question
about your cartoon?
I'm sorry. It's just I have two kids. One is now, I guess, maybe outgrown. Aquaforce. I'm not positive. But now I've got a six-year-old that's all involved.
You can't outgrow Aquaforce. Yeah. I mean, there's no, adults.
No, I know, but there's also stages of life, too. I used to wear a white disco suit and eat Quaaludes and fat girls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I outgrew for a while, and now I'm back into it.
You stopped doing one of those things, right. By the way.
God, I'm a fat one. Anyway, the meatball. Do you ever think the meatball might be too hard to understand, or is that just... That's it. That's the way that guy's going to talk. And if you only get 30% of it, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that was one of our notes when Matt and I made the pilot was we don't understand the meatball, and we just fought.
Do you do the voice of the meatball?
I do.
What does it sound like for those of us who don't know?
Hey, Adam Carolla, Daddy Bonaducci. This is fun. We put on some Justin Timberlake. I'm going to get my jams out.
I understood that.
That's clear.
I've gotten better at it.
But there's a slur that's kind of involved when you do it. I don't know if you have an effect, because that is far more clear than that. Wow, I'm getting
I think the meatball's batting average verbally is higher than Jesse Jackson's. I mean, I only understand about 20% of what comes out of his mouth. The meatball's at 42%.
But the meatball also says way more important stuff.
True. The thing with meat, that's what helps to have it rewatchability. Like, sometimes I'll watch it one time, maybe only catch the first five words.
Mm-hmm.
Then they watch it the next time, like, wow, I didn't know he was talking about the truck the whole time.
Right.
This is a whole new episode.
That was our trick with my show, Breaking Bonaducci. Like, the first you'd watch and you'd think, I think I only got the first five felonies. I'm going to watch that again and see what other laws get broken.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, everyone, in theaters coming up
April 13th.
April 13th. Friday the 13th.
Thank
Lucky
you guys
Friday the
13th.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks guys. Good times. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep it going with the March Madness.
All right.
Working down to our Elite Eight. We're pairing up red turn arrows with backup beepers. I got to tell you, I'm going to pop an IV in right now because I'm coming back with a fire and brimstone, the likes of which you've never heard on this show.
You made me tired yesterday. You were screaming.
Red arrows versus backup beepers on March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla Show.
What's going to make me mad in March?
In Sweet 16 action, Prince.
He's talented. The only reason I hate him is because all you idiots think he's a genius when he's moderately talented. Listen to his old crap, and what a blowhard.
Couldn't blow hard enough to stop the number one seeded Red Turn Arrows.
The arrow is red. The signal's green. There's no cars coming, but you sit there like a stooge lemming. Well, not me, sister. I'm driving.
And Drunk Ray. Random guy missed the party.
Hey, you know, you think you're all happy.
He was run over by backup beepers.
Please, if a couple of retarded kids get run over every year, that's Darwin taking out the garbage.
It's the clash of the traffic titans. Red Turn Arrows versus backup beepers.
Bring it on.
March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh.
How are you? Are you ready?
Don't talk to me.
I'm scared.
I know you're in the zone.
I'm going to a fugue state.
Do you want to know about yesterday's vote count before you go into this?
Who's talking? I can't hear who's talking.
I'll take that as a no.
Go ahead. What happened?
Well, there was a very big upset on AdamCarolla.com. Thousands of people voted. Dirty laundry was beaten by recycling regulations that don't make sense by a couple hundred points.
The song Dirty Laundry.
Yes.
Yes.
The Don Henley song, I really thought that was going to take it. And the long baseball season handily beat speed bumps. So those two, baseball and recycling.
You mean exactly. They hate the long baseball season more than they hate Don Henley.
Yes, by a couple hundred votes. So now into the Elite Eight. Baseball season and stupid recycling regulations have advanced, and now we'll see who else.
How's everyone's bracket doing, by the way? Everyone here has brackets filled out.
Not so good.
I had seatbelts going all the way.
I did too.
I'm absolutely in it. I'm 4 for 4. I got
Mike's 4 for 4.
How can recycling beat dirty laundry?
Look, we put it to the people, and the people have spoken. They voted, and that's how we're doing it. It's not up to me. It's up to you. You go to AdamCarolla.com, and you vote on this.
But you sway with your arguments. You know, you would think his best argument will sway the most people.
One would think, and if that is true, this is unstoppable force versus immovable object.
Exactly.
The red arrow versus the backup beep. Because I can't tell you, if you cut my brain open and had a thousand scientists study it for 1,000 years, I don't know if I could figure out what I'm more angry about.
I'm halfway there. I've thought about cutting your head open and just seeing your brain just kind of squishing it around to see what it would do. But what you're doing is you're your own lawyer, which mm-hmm. means you have a jackass for a lawyer and an idiot for a client.
Right.
What you've done is you're too good. You're swaying both arguments too well.
Well, I'm going
but
to
that's fair of
I'm
you.
Going to try to kick my own ass with each argument. Are we ready? This yep. is to see who gets into the
Elite Eight.
Start with Red Turn Arrows. I don't even know where to begin other than here's the deal, everyone. You have X amount of years, X amount of months, X amount of minutes on this planet. Maybe you make it to 85. Maybe you make it to 35. Who knows? Either way, how much of that time do you want to spend sitting, watching the world go by, watching your life pass you by while the man decides what you can do and what you can't do? It all started many years ago when I used to go to Loveline in Culver City, which, by the way, is an old Indian word meaning home of the arrow, because they started it in that dump Culver City, and then it spread like some kind of crappy virus throughout the land. I would leave work at night. It would be 12:09 in the evening, and I would sit at a red light on Venice Boulevard. Now, the signal was green, but the arrow was red, and I could see so far in the distance, I saw the Earth's curvature. I actually saw the Earth's curvature and not a car coming my direction, but yet I sat there in a crappy neighborhood, ready to be carjacked by a gangbanger or T-boned by a drunk trucker. Listen, people, turn. Do it yourself. Take the law into your own hands. Otherwise, you've sold I don't know how much your life to the man. That is your life that the man is taking away. And the fact that there's 10 times as many as there were 10 years ago, and there'll be 100 times as many as there will be from now, 10 years from now, if you pussies don't step up and tell the man, hey, I can decide. When there's cars coming, I don't turn. When they're not coming, I do turn. And by the way, if we don't trust people to do that, then what's to stop me from driving through the back of my garage into my living room every goddamn night?
Oh,
I ain't even beginning. Wow. I got something left. Boy, do I got something left. All right. Backup beepers. I had a realization listening to backup beepers, and you want to talk about something that wasn't around when I was a kid and now is ubiquitous. They've taken the backup beepers. They used to just be in garbage trucks. Now they're in all municipal trucks. Now they're in every pickup truck. They're in golf carts. What's next? Big wheels? Wheelchairs? What's next? Zipper? Razor? Zipper scooters? What the hell is next? We are, and you don't think this is polluting your brain? People talk about environmental pollution. Oh, they're talking about the ozone. They're talking about the air. They're talking about what you're putting in your body. How about what you're putting in your head? How about the fact that you can't walk 10 feet without hearing this? How about the fact that you've heard 700 billion of these things in your life and never moved out of the way? Do you know how many backup beepers I've heard 30 feet above the vehicle that was backing up? Yes, I've been in the second floor of my house. Yes, I've been in the third floor of my office building, and I've heard the backup beeper, the ubiquitous backup beeper. The idea that I'm a full 18 feet above the roof of the vehicle that is backing up. And by the way, what is the range of these things need to be? Are you going to back over someone who's in Catalina? How many nautical goddamn miles do we have to hear this away from? I've been 300 yards away from a truck that was backing up thinking, what? I'm in my goddamn living room. Shall I move? I've heard so many of these and have used so little that I now hope I get backed over by a truck just to justify it. Just one time, just so I can say, here's a question. You ready for your head to explode? What's more useless in your life? How many backup beeps versus traffic reports have you heard in your life, and what have you used less?
Wow.
Yes, I've heard...
That's it.
2 billion traffic reports and 2 zillion backup beeps. Never moved, never gotten off the freeway, never used
this
one.
This does not count as any part of your voting. I would just like to add, how many times have you heard someone's personal beeper gone off and then jumped because you assumed there was a truck backing up?
1 million times.
It's just not right.
No. We all hear this all day, every day. Does anyone ever move?
No.
Have you ever moved? And by the way, if a kid decides it's a great idea to bivouac behind a garbage truck, what do we need that kid for? Do we need him reproducing?
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
This kid's going to finally create the, he's going to solve the riddle, and we will no longer have to be dependent on foreign oil. This kid, no. This kid's going to be living in a trailer with a drool tray under him, and all he's going to be doing is reproducing. All right, sorry.
Go to AdamCarolla.com and vote to review Red Turn Arrows. You sit there, you could get T-boned or carjacked while giving your life to the man. Or backup beepers. They're going to be on big wheels and wheelchairs. They're ubiquitous.
Just quickly, everybody.
Wow, what was that?
Just quickly with the arrow. Uh-oh. That intersection that now has the arrow. I'm sorry. Awesome. Man, I'll make a small little thing for it.
Overtime.
The intersection.
Yeah, I don't know.
Going in
OT. I don't know.
The intersection that has the arrow has been there for 65 years.
Sure.
The arrow has been there for 4 weeks. Pretend you're driving any other time before the arrow was there. How did we make it all these years? Just hold your two little fingers up, block the arrow out, see that there's no cars coming, and turn. I beg all of you to do it. I have been doing it without a ticket for over 6 years, three or four times a day. I've done it thousands of times. I've never got a ticket. The reason I haven't gotten a ticket, this, you don't have to vote. This is just a tip for you. The reason you don't get a ticket when you do that is because it doesn't look like anything. All you're doing is turning left when the light is green,
right,
like the guy did at the intersection before you and like the guy will do at the intersection after you. Right. It doesn't matter because half the intersections don't have them. So unless the cop is parked directly behind you and you can see him in your rear view, you're not going to get a ticket. If he's coming the other way, you don't get a ticket. If he's held up at the stoplight where it's red, you're not going to get a ticket. If he's parked holding a radar detector.
Here, but there's somebody on the phone.
And
we might have to go into double overtime.
Oh, no. Fane, I think is his name. Fane?
Yes, Adam.
You now say, what has backup beepers?
I hate to do this on a beautiful Friday. Boating industry. Going mandatory. I work for one of the largest high-performance boat companies. They are now installing backup beepers on all their boats.
Pretty soon, people over 172 pounds will be installed, be fitted with these things.
Oh, how many fat women have been completely humiliated by that? That beeping sound goes off and somebody goes, look out, that lady's backing up.
Another reason to vote for that.
All I'm saying is look, I don't want to see kids get run over, although how many got ran over or backed over before this? But what does the effective range of these things need to be, considering you're only covering the 6-foot by 9-foot area that's directly behind the garbage truck? Why am I upstairs in my house with the stereo on and this guy's down the canyon and I can hear him from inside the house? How about we make the range? What do you think the dude's listening to Skynyrd on an iPod or something while he's on his big wheel? All right.
Big wheel keeps on turning.
People can swim faster than the boat to get out of the way.
It'd be nice.
Because boat's going backwards swamp.
Yeah, at least turn down the decibels on the dock.
This is a bracket buster because I think a lot of people had left turn arrows.
Yeah, well, I personally feel like we might have seeded the mind a little bit here, salted the mind a little bit.
No, you guys are saying two different things, which is you think that the favorite.
Was the left turn arrows. And now backup beeps are starting to pull ahead.
Well, that's why you go to AdamCarolla.com and vote.
And vote your conscience.
I'm out of gas, but I'll tell you who isn't. Joel McHale.
Yay!
So beautiful and so talented.
I know, and I'll tell you the best compliment you can pay to anyone, which is, it was about 5 in the morning. Got up this morning, I was tired, and I thought, no, what's going on that show today? And then I thought, oh, Joel McHale's coming in. And then I went, okay, well, there's two breaks I don't have to worry about.
Right.
Joel McHale, you don't have to worry about him. He's from The Soup. He brought his clips in, and we'll talk to him next on The Adam Carolla Show. There's no way.
tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story,
TV Talk.
Hey, don't try funny. We don't come down to your work and distort the truth.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Joel.
Nice to see you.
The nicest guy in show business, Joel McHale.
That's and Danny. Easy on the eyes.
Nicest guy in the room.
Yes.
Easily. Joel is the host of The Soup. It's never been better, by the way.
God bless you.
Poser Kinnear. We got rid of that dead weight.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I don't know.
You know who I saw yesterday? It was Henson.
Really?
Standing on the street, shirtless, smoking.
No way.
As I walked up to him, he goes, yo, just like that. And I went, that's the coolest possible Henson ever. Because he should. It's not like he's been at the gym and just ripped up and shredded. He was just sitting there talking to construction.
He works at TV Guide.
Al Sparks was at my house with his shirt off. Oh, maybe I've said too much.
No, go on. Where were you guys?
Wow.
Yeah, there's some. John Henson is a funny, talented guy who seems deeply troubled. And I don't know why.
He's broken.
Just get that vibe from
him.
Do
you get that, Danny?
Yes. There's a few guys.
Yes, and this is a clue. This is a clue to if he might be in trouble.
I envy you, Bonaducci.
I used to watch Breaking Bonaducci with my wife, and I'd say, that's us.
Oh, no.
That's a friggin' problem, dude.
Wow.
Bad sign.
That's what I say about Battlestar Galactica with my wife.
Well, you know who's happily married? Tori Spelling and that man of hers.
Yes,
they
are.
Got a new show, Joel.
Tori and Dean in INN Love with their new bed and breakfast.
A reality show about some married couple.
Yeah.
That's crap.
By the way, can I say this very quickly about the bed and breakfast experience? It sounds great. Nothing sounds better but is worse. I did the bed and breakfast thing one time, and it sounds great. It's like, hey, we're traveling. Instead of staying in one of those stuffy hotels, we'll go to a B&B. It'll be a bed and breakfast. You don't realize that you're walking into somebody's house.
Yeah.
You're doing it with your wife on a bed that the stepson teenager was masturbating on 48 hours earlier before he was put in juvie. And then when you head out into the kitchen in the morning, there's grandma. Don't mind her. She's not exactly sure what's going on. And there's a guy wearing flip-flops who's cooking you breakfast who seems more like a dad you've never met than a guy who works somewhere. And then there's always a little controversy about, we're going out tonight into town to have a couple of pops. We may not be back.
And they're like, what?
Do you give us a key or just leave the door open? And there's some weird teenagers floating around who seems to be angry about the whole thing.
Well, we already bought food for dinner. You're not staying with the...
Well, no, we want to go out to dinner.
Yeah, but it's a complimentary dinner here.
Well, we kind of want to talk and be private.
We bought a bunch of shrimp.
Could you leave the front door open?
Well, it's not necessarily... okay, no, if that's cool, that's fine.
I mean, put the key under the mat. Then it's weird. You're walking into someone's house. The people that own it are upstairs.
Yeah.
You're humping in someone's house.
Yes.
It's put to... You're staying in someone's room. I know some grandma died a few years ago, and that's the bed she died in. That's what you're
and
in
smells
now.
Like
and
it noxzema.
Smells weird. Stuff is weird. Look, the whole B&B thing, don't do it, people.
No, it's... I mean, you want to... It's your house, and then you're just working all...
Yes, scones with strangers, an awful combination.
Right. Looking at each other.
Great show on the BBC, though. That improv group, scones
with strangers. Well, I've been dying to see the Tori Spelling reality show, and I
have
not.
They have a kid now, and they had some sex during the first trimester, and this is how it sounded and smelled.
Babe.
Yo.
Remember how the first trimester I had uncontrollable gas?
Oh, when we were in the act up?
Yeah. Gastering
sack. See how good your show was, Danny?
Wow, no kidding.
Yes, breaking wind, Bonaducci.
Nice.
Well, to raise money, though, she decided to auction off some of her dresses. Mm-hmm. And some of those dresses, her hymen was broken.
What the?
What? Oh, my God. Ew, I can't believe I wore that.
The dress I lost my virginity in, and it had a blood stain.
Oh. It was sentimental.
Yeah, don't want to hear it anymore.
The record scratched. Just
really?
Every reality
as
show uses
fresh it. As it was in 1989 when we were effed out on it.
He uses the record scratch with such, they just have no meter for how many times they did that during the Girls Next Door.
Yeah, you guys, here's a, let me ask you a question. I don't want your heads to explode. You don't have to answer it, but just think about it. More effed out, the record scratch in the reality show, or the bad California surfer dude guy doing the commercials on the radio. Hey,
That's Wave. That's Grody to the Mac.
That
how about the fact that he's also 40?
How about the fact that Frank Zappa sort of woke everyone up to that in 1985, and we're still
And they used it in Finding Nemo. I watched Finding Nemo. Yes. I was like, you're using the surfer dude as the
I'm sure they've been combined on some commercial where the surfer dude was interrupted by the record scratch.
Oh, my God.
You know, yes. And it was for a record store, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It was for Tower.
Wow. So,
anyway. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Is that on? It's
on. Yeah. They're, I mean, Tori and Dean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's on.
Love?
Yeah. Inn Love. And they're running a bed and breakfast. They have a child. And it's just really awful.
And then what about the other bed and breakfast part where you hang out with the other people that were stupid enough to go for the bed and breakfast thing, and you have to sit and eat breakfast next to the strangers? It's like the only bad thing about Benihana is you have to sit next to that couple that's celebrating their whatever, and you're in between a couple of Marines that are out on leave, and it's just you and your girl trying to enjoy yourself. It's weird. The bed and breakfast is a Benihana's with old people. Yes.
Right. I said, I'm just leaning up to agree. That's fine.
If you go to Tori and Dean's, you're going to be filmed. So you'll be waking up staring at strangers and on camera.
Well, can you cleanse our palate with some Paula Abdul?
Oh, I can. She was on QVC selling her wares.
How much for a Vicodin?
We have some Darvocet that I used back in 1991 with MC Scat Cat. And,
that cat turned out not to be real?
That's
weird.
That's crazy. I got a call from last week. This is pretty self-explanatory as she's explaining some of the jewelry.
What's the feather all about, Paula? Tell us the significance of the feather.
As my earring is going down my chest, feathers are about, for me, the ability to fly.
Clip you've ever played on the show.
There you go. That's right. I mean, I don't know what to say about after that.
The thing about
that was high, Paul.
My dream is to get every woman in America into one huge barn and get a PA system and go, all right, listen, let's go ahead and grab a seat. Bert, flip the light switch on and off. Okay, there we go. All right, now everyone settle in. Okay. I'm a guy, and I've spoke to many guys, and I feel like I speak for all men when I say this. First off, there's no jewelry big enough to hide that huge ass of yours. We do not care about big jewelry. We're not trout, ladies. We're not bass. We don't bite on things that are shiny. We like hot chicks. We don't care about the jewelry. It's just one more thing for us to put on the nightstand and get busted by. Number two, the huge, long black ladies, you listening, the novelty size nails, the acrylic nails with the unicorns airbrush on them, never made a guy interested in a woman. I never had a guy go, this chick is ugly. She is dog ugly. She's big as a house, but she has huge trash can lid size earrings and longer nails. And I'm so into this chick. I want to marry her. The crazy three-tone hair, not into it. Just like, I just feel like I could go along a long list.
You'd be killed at
and
that
then everyone could move on with their lives.
So far, the only part that I would do battle for.
Right.
Is any chick that puts on any extra clamp for us to unclamp is doing it on purpose to drive us insane. Who here has stumbled over a bra and couldn't do it? Couldn't just get it right
The off. Trouble with the bra came in the 80s when they switched the clasp to the front, and then half the chicks were wearing the ones that were in the back, right. And the other half were wearing the ones in the
front. And the ones in the front did two different things. One would crack and then slide up and down, and one would crack and slide completely crack. Mm. They do it to make us feel awkward and stupid.
I'll tell you what always works on a bra connection. Stiletto.
Ah.
A little knife?
No. A heel.
No, I'm talking about the one I pull out of the...
Ah.
Look like the true crime magazine.
Goes right through the shirt and then just...
Pow. That's right.
Dan, are you suggesting women should wear flowing gowns at all times? Maybe a burqa of some
at
sort.
At all times, yes. That's exactly what they should wear.
Well, Bill O'Reilly would probably agree with that burqa thing.
I had no setup for this other than Bill O'Reilly.
By the way, I think they should be naked all the time. What have you? Who have you confused me with?
No, they shouldn't. Just think of the sunburns and the... okay, I'll stop. And you'd see so much you didn't. Anyway, here we go. Bill O'Reilly, children's testicles.
One of the top lawyers of George Bush's administration said in a public debate that George Bush has the right to torture somebody, including, I quote, by crushing the testicles of their small child in front of them. I quote you from a public debate.
Okay.
This is
which
George
small
Bush's
child
lawyer.
Was that?
This is the legal
which small
doctrine.
Child got his testicles crushed? Do you think it's responsible and patriotic for someone to come on national TV and accuse the U.S. Government of mashing a baby's testicles?
She
but she doesn't know
true.
Who the baby is.
Okay.
She didn't see the baby's testicles being mashed.
Well, look.
I think I had
I don't want to defend anybody, but how are you going to get the juice out of them if you don't
right.
put them in the press?
Yeah, but then you got to ferment them, or what's the point?
Good point, Sylvester. All right, give us a tease, because we got to go to
break.
Do you
have the Lily Tomlin there? This is one of the greatest things I've ever brought in, I think.
You.
All right, that's
get
just
the
a little
thing together.
Yeah, that is in response to another clip that I have.
Okay. Hmm. Well,
on the set of I Heart Huckabees.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Is there a chance somebody mentioned her exact resemblance to John Travolta?
No, there's a worse word, and it starts with a C.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. One effie dingy, two effie dingy.
I just
three
got
effie
that.
Dingy.
Nice.
It's going to take you a while.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with Joel McHale and Lily Tomlin melting down next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee exemplifies what all successful businesses look for in their staff. This employee's work ethic can be summed up by the three P's: professionalism, punctuality, and passion. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
This is a surprise. I didn't have anything prepared.
Oh, look.
At all.
I'm clapping so hard the steel plate came out again.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Whatever.
57 weeks in county. God bless America. Joel McHale.
Yes.
He's our employee of the week. He's over at E. He does a little show called The Soup.
Yep.
And
the Ryan Seacrest Network.
He's doing a fantastic, fantastic job on the show. He comes in on Fridays. He brings his clips. Now, we were teasing one before we left, the Lily Tomlin.
Yes, okay. Clip. This, let's play the Lily Tomlin clip. This is on the set of I Heart Huckabees, and this just got leaked. And so this is her... I will play another clip that will. This is the reason why this happened. So play Lily. This is an outtake.
You. Get the f-ing thing together. You.
All right. So what?
Now that she wasn't reprising her character Ernestine, the phone operator on that.
One ringy dingy.
That was actually from Laugh-In. In 71, she obviously is upset. She's sitting in a car with Dustin Hoffman and Mark Wahlberg and Naomi Watts. And what set that up, I believe, is the director, David O. Russell, who I think this clip is not going to make him look like necessarily the most reasonable director in movies. Clearly, he has a problem with Lily Tomlin, and what I don't get is that they've worked together twice. So just listen to this. This is great.
I was trying to help you figure out.
Hey,
bitch, I'm not here to be yelled at. I worked on this thing for 3 years not to have some yell at me in front of the crew when I'm trying to help you, bitch. You're a grown up. Act like a grown up. You're not a baby. You're a grown up. I'm here to help you.
See, if they had actually put that in the movie or in the trailer, people would have seen I Heart Huckabees.
You know what? No.
I heart that clip.
I'm totally down with that guy. If she was doing something enough, I think that was completely reasonable.
Right. So
that's why you went
to a liquor store on camera and poured out just
have to
a
say,
little bit of the vodka.
Calling your actress a bitch over and over on
all
set
right,
is
tough
not
guy.
Appropriate.
I'll tell you what. Who saw I Heart Huckabee?
I did.
Anyone else in the world?
Gay Brian.
Who saw
Gay
Breaking
Brian,
Bad Energy?
I did.
Every friggin' body.
I had to. It was my job.
I loved it. I heard Huckabees I wanted to love more than I did, but I had no idea there was that much. It was was dull. There was a lot of strife on the set.
Yeah, I never saw it because it decided it was precious before it came out. There are those movies that decide they're precious before they come out. That was definitely one of them. And thus, I did not want to see it.
I actually think her response was pretty measured, considering what he had to say to her.
Well, he was a little spooky.
I think this happened. These were at separate times during the same shoot, so they were going at
it. Well, she dressed him down like a movie star, forgetting that he's been working on the movie a year before she got there. And he went off.
I can't believe you're defending this guy.
Totally.
At one point, as you're watching the video, she has to basically duck because he's throwing things at her.
No, physical contact with a woman is out. Okay, you're out. But I'm sorry.
She says it's F
you. But you dress down. You saying this? I've been working all night, bitch. You don't come on my set and call me, talk to me like I'm a F you. Right. That's fine.
It's one of those situations where you see someone is going nuts and you go, I'm taking the high ground and I'm just going to step back and let this go.
I would rather, though, and I don't know how you guys are constructed, because I've been in those situations and then I've stood next to those situations. And believe it or not, I would rather be the person in the exchange than the eight poor sons of bitches that had to stand there just sort of looking down, holding a clipboard and eventually sheepishly say, so are we going to... Should I call craft service? Are you guys going to eat?
Shut up.
You know the person that gets yelled at eventually somebody has to go, are we going to keep shooting? And then that person gets yelled at. I would rather be in the heat of the battle, having the argument, making an ass of myself, and have all eyes on me rather than be the super uncomfortable underling person that is standing between these two blowhards.
I've got it. Adam starts on me about something. Mm-hmm. So I start on Adam. Then Adam stands up, and being 6'2", I'm immediately angry, so I stand a little too close to him, which he doesn't like, so he shoves me, and now it's a thing, and I'm like rolling around, and Brian pushes the button, can we move on? Then we just get up and kill him.
Can we move forward?
Describing it makes me mad.
Can we move forward?
Now, are you forgetting about the person that is laughing off to the side? Who thinks it's...
Well, that's... I want to be that person.
In the first Lily Tomlin one, Naomi Watts at one point starts laughing, and Lily Tomlin... and she's like, F you too, and...
sometimes if you get uncomfortable, you laugh.
Very true.
All right. Just crack me up.
Speaking of laughing, should we move on to the next laughable clip?
Let's move on to CSI Miami. Little guy named Horatio.
Mm-hmm. Hornblower.
Mm-hmm.
Mark.
Shot in the light of day in a house filled with people? That's cold-blooded, Horatio.
It's as cold as ice.
Now, this might surprise you,
great act.
But he put on his sunglasses while he saw that line. I know, it's crazy.
Do you want to know something about that guy? What's his name?
Caruso.
I was trying to figure out his charm one night. I do not consider myself an actor. I was a really cute kid, and I outgrew it. You know, I'm not trained. I don't practice. I'm not an actor. But I wondered
why.
Well, you
took a lot of voice lessons, though.
What? Yes. They came out of a machine. But I watched what he did that's different from other people. And do you know what he does? And this is just a true thing. If you watch it again, you might find this curious. He steps backwards. As he talks, he walks backwards. Mm. It's the weirdest. Like, some people have a thing they do that you notice that they do. And I watched, and he takes little steps backwards when
he speaks.
It'd be
nice if he just kept going and fell into a drainage ditch.
He did, and they dragged his ungrateful
ass out. And then they cut right to the Who song.
Why does he bug me? Does he bug you guys? I know, but here's the thing. One day I want to get a list together, and we'll talk about it. Billy Bush from Entertainment Tonight is on this list. Caruso is on this list. We always talk about these people that are on this list. I hate him. I've never met him. I've never had an exchange with him. I've never seen his show. I've seen him pop up on Entertainment Tonight or, you know, Pat O'Brien always flies out to Miami and kisses his ass every other episode of The Insider. I have no reason. I don't know if this guy does nothing but give time to charity and give money to charity. I don't know if he's a loving father. I don't know if he has a child that has Down syndrome and he takes care of that child and the family of the Mexican maid who looks after him while he's on set of mine. He could be the greatest guy in the world. I've decided I hate him. How does that work?
Because he is trying so hard at all times in that show to be cool.
Yeah. Is that what it
any
is?
Any moment he has, you know, he's going to be wearing a leather coat, even that's 110, and I have also 110 humidity right, in Miami.
But why always, do I hate Billy Bush? Why does everyone hate Billy Bush?
I don't even
what think. What is so unlike? I mean, here's my question. Can you exude that? If you're thinking horrible, pompous, or evil thoughts, can you push it through your eyes into the camera, even though you're just reading right. happy lines off a teleprompter?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Billy Bush, if he was in there, you feel like he wants to please you at all times, which he's constantly doing to stars, and then it makes a shit. No, so that's what drives you. Just like the guy in high school, be like, hey, Adam, what's going on? Really great coat you're wearing. What are you doing, buddy?
But that guy, you feel sorry for. Billy Bush.
You feel so, but no, but
you
Billy
don't
Bush,
feel sorry
he,
for.
Because he's making a lot of money. He's on TV.
One time.
I'm saying it transcends explanation. That's the point. Right. We hate him. We're right. We should hate them. I just don't know why, and it would never hold up in court.
I just want to say one time I told Adam Carolla that I tipped a guy at Home Depot and he hit me in the face with a bottle of Gatorade.
Right. Totally.
So I'm really nervous, but I got to stand my ground on this ahead. Guy.
It is disagree with Adam Day.
So?
Hang on.
Uh-oh, he's ducking under the console.
I just want to say that I kind of like Billy Bush.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to hit you
look
with a Gatorade
this.
Because I can't stand
look,
Billy Bush.
Why? Because you want to be on that Bush. Show, Danny, doesn't mean you need to kiss his
but
butt.
But here's
the
want to be on that show. I can't stay off that friggin' show.
I think maybe
here
I'm
we
just
are with
jealous.
Danny Bottaducci. Catch it up with him.
Danny, you're not.
Catch it up with him in his shirt.
You're not disagreeing with me because I have no argument.
Oh, okay.
I am saying I feel it in my bones like when a mother says I knew something was
right.
wrong.
No, Gretchen can do that, so I don't disagree with.
I think you can read it. For example, Meredith Vieira, you just love her.
Yes.
And she's actually an incredibly nice person. I've met
okay.
her, and she exudes
all right.
that, and so the
yes.
audience feels it.
And Rosie
mm-hmm.
O'Donnell, you just hate her guts, and she's a total big fat bitch, and she exudes that.
I mm-hmm. like Rosie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you're wrong.
I think she's talented, even though I don't always agree with her.
I feel Billy Bush in my bones. That's all
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, exactly.
I
he
think Billy
it.
Is cool as ice.
Well, I had an idea, everyone. Local media.
Yeah.
he had a little card, and he's like, dude. It says Duke Caruso.
Cliche scene investigation.
I don't, yeah. look, I don't
but
say
you're
either
saying,
one
you're,
of these guys are bad.
Yeah,
I'm
but
just
you're saying,
saying
your mom, if your mom was like, there's something with that guy, that's like saying he's a serial killer. That's different than, you know what
no,
I'm saying?
Some people just you don't like. I felt that way about your predecessor, Hal Sparks. For whatever reason,
yes.
I would see his face,
yes.
and I would have to change, and I loved
yes.
the suit, but I couldn't watch
yes.
it.
Yes.
Okay.
For no reason.
Right.
He's
all
never
right.
done anything to hurt me.
Well, yes. Hal Sparks, there he is right up there at the top of my creeped out list.
I don't know why.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, this is weird, though, because I watched The Soup. I know Henson. I know you. I knew What's-His-Face that moved off to the movies. I know who all that.
Right.
I don't recognize this name.
Hal Sparks stepped in for
so
a few.
So I must have missed.
He
I must
came
miss
in after John Henson.
He's how deathly dull must he have been? I watched
it's
the show and I've never heard of him.
He does something, gets under your skin.
He dresses
skin.
All goth.
It was like a strike. It was like a strike year where a bunch of scabs came in and played half a season. That's what
yeah.
he did. Yes, Sparks is on that list, too. And if any of these people hear this, you shouldn't be offended because it's based
no
on
reason.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Although I'm never wrong.
I hate gay people. And by the way, just because Adam and I are two different kind of people, if you hear this stuff, you should be offended, and you should call here, you should tell us all about it, and then you should even show up.
Yeah.
Because that would just make me laugh.
All right, so all right. give us your last one. What is your,
all
I can't
your
decide
ass.
Between...
What is your kicker, Joel
can't
McHale?
Decide between Andrew Dice Clay and a woman going crazy on Price is Right.
Oh. I vote for Price is Right. What's the
I'm going to Price is Right.
All right. This is a woman named Margie, and she really likes the Price is Right.
It's a new car!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm scared. I don't want to hurt you if I win.
She's afraid she'll hurt me if she wins. You win, Margie. You have won your showcase. Congratulations. Melissa, thank you for being on the show.
She was being murdered during the showcase showdown. She was stabbed. Just
by the yodeler?
Yeah.
How long has that show been on? I watched that show when I was a kid.
No, yeah. It was a radio play in the 20s. Right as radio
Greek
began.
Tragedy.
Yes.
2,000 years
yeah.
ago.
One of the first head writer was St. James.
Yeah, they used to use the Price is Right in World War I to communicate and not let the Russians know our movements.
Like the Bob, that Stutz Bear Cat is 1,800 pelts.
This beaver hat. This raccoon hat.
Yes.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
18 candles.
Roddy, that, yeah. Yeah,
how many pelts? I'm gonna go with one pelt, Bob. One pelt, Bob.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Now, if I go over two pelts, if you go over peltage, you get pelted. Right?
That's, we will squeeze the Indian if that happens.
The raccoon coat is gonna be three pelts.
Chinaman, show it off. Go outside.
Decorate your cave with 2,000 square feet of sea brick.
Who it's wants to go out west? The unknown, uncharted west.
It was on for 150 years before the camera was invented.
Yeah. Yes, and they've been talking about replacing Bob Barker for 25 years. They're like, well, who will be his successor?
You would be great.
Father time.
We need a younger,
fresher guy. How's Father Time? Available? Talk to his agent
Strong
on the blower.
Thurman possibly could take over.
Or Charles Durning.
All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. I want to thank Joel McHale for coming in here.
Thank you for doing the only promotion that he gets.
The soup.
I mean that the soup gets.
Very, very bitter Joel McHale.
He gets tons. Brian gets it all.
Yeah.
I even screwed you that night on that talk show. Hey, what's that guy's name? I love him.
What's his name, Danny? Who's that guy?
Taller, better looking, and funnier. And yet, he gets no love from me, everyone. Yeah, Joel McHale.
Ryan's got two Bentleys.
The soup, everyone, tonight on E. We'll take a quick break, 10 o'clock. We'll be back with more March Madness. I will go sick on our next topic. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I don't want to throw a wrench in our gears, but I'd rather do the news. T, why don't you tee up the news, then we'll do March Madness after that.
Can do. We have a new video from Anna Nicole Smith. It's extra creepy. And what major movie star has admitted to having a problem with porn?
That next, and then March Madness after that on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to my boy, Adam Carolla. This is your boy, Mr. Pauly Shore. No, he's in the juice. Adam Carolla wheezes the juice. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Meet group.
T.
Yes.
I miss that Boston guy. T, what's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards held a press conference yesterday in North Carolina to discuss the recurrence of his wife's cancer. Here he is talking about Elizabeth's stage 4 cancer.
The bottom line is her cancer is back. When the cancer goes from breast and shows in bone, which it's doing now, it's no longer curable. It is completely treatable.
He will continue to campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not curable, but it's treatable, meaning she won't necessarily die from it, but she'll always have it. It's chronic.
That's exactly right. She can receive radiation and chemotherapy as well as other treatments. Right. But when you have a recurrence so soon after, she had it back in 2004, it's definitely not a good sign.
I heard about a story of somebody who had, like, I don't know, encephalitis or what. I can't remember what the hell, some brain swelling or something, and they're flying their kid to China so that the kid can get stem cell treatments because we don't have it here.
China?
Yes, China. Because, you know, look, if you want to fly your kid to Mexico to get a coffee enema, knock yourself out. But if you're flying them for real technology and real legitimate medical whatever, then I'm pissed. Because this country has the best and the brightest. We have the most colleges and we have the smartest folks and we have the most funding and we might be able to put a dent in a lot of these things if we would just let science take its course.
I know a guy. When I say I know a guy, it's like, oh, I kind of know a guy. I mean, I know a guy very, very all the time. He's my mom's best friend and kind of helper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Decorated her apartment. He's a wonderful man. And he went to Thailand for stem cell research for his heart. Mm-hmm. Not research, but for stem cell surgery, I guess, whatever you call it, for his heart. And it's run by an institute in Israel. And it's all you have to run all around the world because we can't do it here. He had to go all the way to Thailand. It was $25,000, which is cheaper than it would be here. And it was top of the line equipment and doctors, but it had to skirt America.
And again, a message to all my retarded friends who are worried about the man playing God. every time you save someone who was going to die, every time you hook someone up to a machine, every time you transplant some lungs, anytime you give someone an injection of something that saves them when 50 years ago or 100 years ago or throughout the world's history, they would be dead, you're playing God.
Right.
If a person would have been dead 200 years ago and now they're alive, then you've intervened. Essentially what it is somebody was going to die, you slipped in and you prevented them from doing that, you're playing God. When you put a seatbelt on, you're playing God.
I don't understand the 200 years ago part, though. If you save someone from dying who's going to die this very moment, and there's something you can do because of medical science that doesn't let that happen, you're playing God right this second. You'd have to cure something from the old days.
Yeah.
You just have to not let them die because you have the know-how.
Well, again, we thought that blood transfusions were going to turn you into the ethnicity of the person you got the blood transfusion from.
One of my favorite MASH episodes.
80 years ago, 40 years ago. Hell, we thought if you transplanted somebody's heart or lungs, you were transplanting their soul 40 years ago. So let's just keep moving. Could we please, people?
Absolutely. And moving on to the world of sports. In NCAA action last night, the four Sweet 16 matchups, the high seeds won all of them, but only number two, UCLA, ground out a pretty comfortable final score. They won, so they will be going on to the Elite Eight. USC playing tonight against number one seed in the East, North Carolina. I'll be wishing them well for Bri's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NBA, Kobe Bryant had a huge night last night. He became the fourth player in NBA history to score at least 53 straight games in a row. So he has set an NBA record.
It is unbelievable that he can dominate in front of the world's best athletes.
Yep.
Terrence Howard, the actor, he was Oscar nominated for Hustle and Flow.
Mm-hmm.
He has been very open about his relationship to porn, particularly as it pertains to staying in hotels. And I know some men have difficulty with this. He's saying, quote, there's stuff on TV that'll mess up your mind. Girls gone wild all night. I have trouble when I go to hotels because I'm bored. And you're curious, man. They've got like five channels and all the other channels, the adult channels. They've got weird stuff that I'm curious about. Here's what he does. Quote, I call the staff and I told them, take the TV out of the room. I'm not a pervert, but I'm curious. So he asked the hotel staffers to take the TV out. Otherwise, he'll be watching too much porn.
I call and ask for his TV so I can watch for more porn. It's like, I only travel with Terrence Howard. I'm like, I know you took the TV out. Now, where is
it? You know what? You need
put it in my room. I want stereo porn.
You need a threesome then. You need me to come because I often call down and say, please remove my minibar.
Well, that's what I'll do. I went Bonaducci's minibar, right. And I went Terrence Howard's porn set.
You can have the mint from my pillow.
Back in the day.
Why? That's the only thing that's going to be on it for you.
When Jimmy and I used to travel, we would bring along, we didn't have much money, but we still had the desire to watch Spectrovision. We would bring vice grips and a universal remote.
Only my boy.
And you use the vice grips to undo the little... Now the thing they used to, I don't know if it still goes this way, but the coaxial cable that went into the back of the TV set and the converter or the whatever has a little piece of sheet metal around it so you can't get to it. It's like one of those things they put on a tree so squirrels can't get to it.
Right.
But if you use vice grips, you can get to it and you can undo the coaxial. Then you plug it directly into the box or the set. Then you use the universal remote... By the way, this is what guys can do when they're motivated.
Right, buy their penis.
You're talking to a guy who couldn't fill out an application, but when it comes to something between me and my porn, I will get to it. Then we used the thing, and we put the porn on. Now, the problem is that we only had one universal remote, so if you put the porn on your station, you'd have to keep it on 24/7 because if you changed it, you couldn't get it back if the other guy had the universal remote.
That happens a lot anyway, even if you pay. But I'm wondering about one thing. Maybe Teresa can help me out.
Sure.
What were all those words he said after the word coaxial?
Coaxial.
Once he said coaxial.
The type of cable.
He said a bunch of words, and I was kind of lost at coaxial.
Coaxial.
That lost you?
Yes.
That is an onomatopoetic word. Mm-hmm. Sounds like what it is.
Did I say coaxial?
No. All right. But I can't say what you said.
Coaxial.
I don't know what it is.
Well, back when you were using the coaxial cable to watch porn, you might have seen some of Anna Nicole Smith's work. She was a Playboy.
By the way, a hammer to the head of the bellboy will do the same friggin' thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bring the hammer next time.
More you know. Now, Anna Nicole, who I've avoided talking about for an entire week, but my streak has come to an end. because yesterday Fox News released a video of Anna Nicole Smith having an argument with a guy named Ford Shelley. He's the son-in-law of the man who loaned out his house in the Bahamas, which now Howard K. Stern is living in. The guy's trying to get rid of Howard. So this is the video that Fox News was playing all day yesterday, where Anna Nicole is talking to this guy, and she doesn't have kind words about Larry Birkhead.
I haven't signed an affidavit at all. Scumbucket Larry tried to take my child away. He's not even the father. Anna, I'm the one who helped you get this place, so you wouldn't have to deal with him. Yeah, it's all I have on the stress. Look what y'all been doing to me this whole time. I'm sorry, Anna. Nothing but stress. Nothing but stress. Now, I don't know if he's a scumbucket. Somebody just kill that woman.
I don't know if he's a scumbucket, as she said, but this is true. Earlier this month, Larry Birkhead trademarked the phrase, "Good night, my sweet Anna baby," for possible use in movies, books, TV shows, internet programs, and stage plays, because that is how he used to say good night to Anna Nicole Smith. Good night, my sweet
Anna
baby.
Now, let me just say this quickly about Larry Birkhead. The only reason America is sympathetic and slowly falling in love with Larry Birkhead is because he is standing next to Howard K. Stern.
Right.
If he was standing next to someone who wasn't despicable, we would see him as the sort of semi-lovable, misguided idiot that he is. He just seems like a genius and the world's sweetest puppy dog because he's standing next to the devil.
Yes, right. It's Mussolini next to Hitler.
Yeah, right. Birkhead, I'm sure, is no jewel, and I wouldn't wish him upon any family member or ex-girlfriend of mine, but standing next to... And by the way, you want to know where the best... You know, the best thing that Howard K. Stern could do, you want to talk about a money-making venture I'd like to get him involved with, I'm going to start a service where you go on a first date with him, chaperoning you, and the chick looks at him and then looks at you, and you look like a prince. It's all relative.
That's a great idea.
You want a lady to fall in love with you on the first date? Bring Howard K. Stern so she can tell what her future may be.
My dad's version of that was, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed shall be king. Mine is, if you were standing up to your neck in poop and somebody threw a bucket of snot at you, would you duck?
Right.
You know, those are your options.
I hope having breakfast. Well, good night, my sweet Adam and Danny babies. That was the news.
Ew. Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Hold on, Brian. Yeah. I want to copyright Behyman. And yeah, it is.
Wait, what about Hella?
Oh, and Hella. I think someone already has that. All right, well, we're going to be hella funny when we come back.
We are.
Yes, I'll tell you what. You want to?
Why are Frosty and Frank coming in early?
You want to do the crank anchors, right?
All right,
it's up to you.
All right. Well, let's do it. Actually, I don't know why I'm having trouble reading this morning, but running a little late. Let's do it. It's Friday. It's Crank Anchors Day on MTV2, and this is a guy I play called Mr. Bertram calling an army surplus store.
Shannon. Yes.
Name's Bertram.
Uh-huh.
You running the army store?
Yeah.
You in the service yourself?
What? No.
No?
Nope.
How old are you, Shannon?
I'm like 43.
Just missed NAMM, didn't you?
Yeah, missed that.
Let me tell you what you missed.
Yeah.
Hell on fire, my friend.
Is that bad?
It's been 30 years. Feels like it was yesterday.
Really?
I close my eyes. I'm right back there.
No kidding.
Sitting in a bunker, mortar rounds going off around me, smoking hash out of a human skull. Once beat a mother to death with her own child.
Oh, come on.
Ain't nothing to laugh about.
No, I don't think it's funny. Let me tell you.
Just a lot of friends. Espinoza, Johnson, Lieutenant Snap, Chuck Crackle, Major Pop. All good men. All strong men.
Wow.
Let me tell you about them... Viet Cong, the hidden caves. Very elaborate caves.
Huh.
Some would open into whole rooms. Places to dine, recreation areas, foosball. It's all there.
Ah, really?
Oh, yeah.
You want to trade some of your stuff for... Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I got some stuff that's considered a little black market. Some ears, some skulls, stuff like that.
I don't need any of that.
Don't need any of that?
Don't need any of that.
You put some of those VC ears on eBay. Believe me, there's some pretty wealthy Asians willing to spend some top dollar for that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Never heard of an ear necklace, huh?
No, that's what they like those, huh?
Skull fanny pack?
Skull fanny pack?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Vagina purse.
Okay.
Change pouch. Made out of a human vagina.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That ain't the half of it.
That's hard to believe, but I guess that is, yeah, like you said, that probably ain't the half of it, so.
No. It was macabre, my friend. It's got a walking stick with a human foot on the end of it. No? Nostril pencil holder? None of that for you, huh?
No.
No. Got a bong made out of a thigh bone.
Oh, my God.
You want to make an offer?
No, I think I'll pass on that. That's some stuff, though, that...
Yeah, it's a little gruesome. You guys buy Beanie Babies?
Nope.
Oh. I didn't get those out of cave. My niece left them when she was visiting. Third tour I was in there. Earned a Purple Heart.
Huh?
Twisted my ankle pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
Got a high ankle sprain. Very painful. Very painful. Hip bone fruit bowl. Rectum umbrella holder. Don't laugh. Some guy out there missing a... Well, he's probably dead. You're right. All right, buddy.
Okay.
Never forget.
All right.
Never forget what?
Mom.
I had her too.
All right, man. Take care.
Shannon?
Yep.
That's a chick's name.
I know. No.
What's up?
Not always.
All right, buddy. I'll see you. See you in hell.
All right.
Nice.
You can call almost any place of business and just explain you're a Vietnam veteran.
And then, yeah, you're
there's
on.
There's nothing they can do.
Yeah, you get at least 10 minutes of grace
time.
Yeah,
you'll never get Cry Me a River, buddy. I got business to run over here.
I like the purse.
Thank you.
The vagina purse?
Well, you just call it the Percy.
Nice.
I've got to open my Percy for some coins.
Feed the meter, sister. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, March Madness. The brackets continue. We're getting down to our final eight or our sweet eight or elite eight or whatever it is. Poker on TV versus flavored coffees. Wow. Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Mo Wazley.
The Adam Carolla Show. Now with Danny Bonaducci.
One heck of a fine show. Adam Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
No one wants to hear squeaking brakes on the road. That's why when it's time for a brake job, AutoZone is your brake headquarters. Get to AutoZone today and ask about our line of Duralast brakes. Duralast brakes are engineered for long life, short stopping distances, and exceptionally quiet performance. Make that sound a thing of the past. Duralast brakes, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Most people tune out radio commercials, so I'll go ahead and get through this as quickly as possible. Every 2007 Mini Cooper comes with a generous 3-year, 36,000-mile Mini full maintenance plan. Go to your local Mini dealer to test drive the all-new 2007 Mini and find out why it's not just whiptastic handling and giddy-up. It's a pretty ridiculous value, too. Now, with time remaining, I'll jump rope barefoot across a floor covered with mousetraps. The 2007 Mini Cooper. Ridiculously practical, undeniably fun. See Mini Service and Warranty Booklet for terms, conditions, and limitations.
Toyota owners, it's tire month at your local Western Washington Toyota dealer. Through March, get $60 off at the purchase of any new set of tires. Toyota, moving forward.
Hey, new phone.
It's the Red Moto Razor. I got it because when you buy one, Sprint and Motorola will make a donation to help fight AIDS in Africa.
Yeah, right.
No, really. That's why I got it.
No, you got it because of all the high-tech stuff. Email, camera, GPS. And because you think it'll make you look cool to download music in a bar.
No, I got it because I'm very into giving back. And because I got unlimited night calling starting at 6, which means extra time to call that dating talk to my family.
What? Family. You're barely dating that Lauren girl, and your parents are living it up in Cabo.
Me and Uncle Bob are pretty tight.
You don't have an Uncle Bob.
The Red Moto Razor, exclusively from Sprint, is powered to make a statement. Now available for just $59.99 on the Sprint Power Network. Come into your local Sprint store or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Sprint. Power up. Offer ends 3/31/07. Excludes taxes and Sprint fees. Requires tier agreements. Up to $36 activation and $200 early termination fee per line. Subject to credit. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Motorola is a proud partner and Sprint is a contributing party to Product Red. Sprint and Motorola donate $17 for each sold to the Global Fund. Find out more at joinred.com.
Announcing the Subaru All-Wheel Deal Sales Event. Until April 2nd, get great deals from Subaru.
Right now, get the Forester, which received the highest possible crash test rating from IIHS, with $2,000 finance cash plus 1.9% APR financing. And like every Subaru, the Forester comes equipped with road-gripping all-wheel drive for handling and control. Safety made affordable. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Hurry in. Offers end April 2nd.
Now is the best time to get the Subaru Forester 2.5X with $2,000 finance cash and 1.9% APR financing.
Financing for well-qualified applicants who finance through Subaru Motors Finance. Length of contract is limited, subject to credit and insurance approval and vehicle availability. Finance cash may not be combined with any other incentive but an APR incentive. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4207. See participating dealer for details.
The Adam Carolla Show on 107.7 The End, Seattle's alternative.
From Paramount Pictures.
The would-be assassin, Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Lee Swagger, is being pursued.
I didn't do whatever they said I did.
He was accused of a crime.
I'm in some bad trouble and I need some help.
He didn't commit.
Swagger is still alive. Chase him down. Kill him.
Now, he has become the most hunted man in America.
There's always a confused soul that thinks that one man can make a difference. And you have to kill him to convince him otherwise.
Now, he didn't pull the trigger.
Not for 5-6 men in the world can make a shot like that.
That's how conspiracy works.
These are some dangerous people.
But he's going to find the man who did.
I have to find the real shooter.
From the director of Training Day, Mark Wahlberg.
What if it's a trap?
Oh, it's a trap. Guaranteed. Question is for whom?
Shooter. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. Now playing in theaters everywhere.
Things are different here in Washington. The air is fresher. The hill.
What's going to make me man march?
In first round action, Poker on TV went all in.
You are going to turn on your TV set and watch what you would not tolerate in real life. Nerds wearing three sunglasses playing poker. This is a sport. How dare all you? Should be ashamed of yourself.
And people on welfare having kids.
Who are we to tell you what to do? You asked for money, remember? Hey, crap out as many kids as you want, but put your hand back in your pocket.
Folded. Fat suit exposés went big.
We're not responding to the fat suit. We're responding to the crazed glasses that have a video camera. Not even a camera, a crew.
But not big enough to fend off a steaming cup of whoopass poured by flavored coffee.
Flavored coffee. Coffee is a flavor. It's coffee flavor.
Can flavored coffee bring the heat against poker tournaments on TV?
Bring it on.
March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Getting down to the Elite Eight, yes?
Yep.
You guys go to AdamCarolla.com and you vote. We have our brackets here, but it's you people who will decide who goes home with the big bucks. Shall we get started? Shall we start with poker on TV?
I'm slightly scared.
Let's do it. I played in one of these tournaments along with Dr. Drew down at the Bicycle Club in the beautiful City of Industry. Or is it the French Riviera? I couldn't tell. I was sandwiched in between poker heroes. Poker heroes are great if you like your heroes wearing members-only jackets with gravy smeared on them and thrice divorced, wearing sunglasses indoors and never seeing the light of day. You sit idly while your body is riddled with cancer because you've drank 178 Diet Pepsis during this 19-hour period, and then you write a book on how you wrote it. Well, I went all in the first second I was there so I could get all the F out and go home to my life. Yes, my wife, my cars, my children, my dog, my home. All the things you people should be enjoying outside of the club. But nope, you choose to do it and then somebody films it and then you watch. I would rather watch seals being clubbed by retarded children while dirty laundry played in the background by Don Henley than watch this godforsaken game on TV. It is boring enough in person. On TV, it is a dirge. I would rather watch a glacier. I'd rather them just hook. I would rather go to a channel called Glacier Cam and watch this thing move 8 inches a year than watch these idiots wearing five pairs of sunglasses doing nothing. And Last time I checked, gambling was a vice. Why do we turn these guys into heroes? These are essentially alcoholics with a deck of cards. Let's not make them heroes. They're pariahs. Remember gambling? It ruins lives. Now it's ruined television.
Wow.
All right. Where was I?
Flavored coffee.
Flavored coffee. Well, not only flavored coffee, but its close cousin, flavored tea. I went out to eat right after the show yesterday. I ordered iced tea. Why? Because I thought I enjoyed iced tea. And what did I get? Passion fruit. Worse, pre-sweetened passion fruit. But what did I do? I opened a couple of those little packets of sugar and the little sweetener into it, thus turning it into corn syrup because I wasn't aware. We need uniformity. We need to know that iced tea is iced tea and coffee is coffee. Macadamia nut coffee is not coffee. It's a boiled macadamia nut. Irish coffee, Irish cream. Look, if you don't like the flavor of coffee, perhaps you should stop drinking coffee. Stop smothering it in these flavors. It's like an Air Wick solid. It's no longer coffee anymore. You drink coffee because it gives you caffeine, which enables you to scream on the radio for 4 hours nonstop, and you do it for the flavor of coffee. Let me ask you a question. Coffee-flavored ice cream, what does that taste like? It tastes like coffee because coffee is a flavor, and you pansies who want everything to be a different flavor other than what it is ruining it for the rest of us. Now, I can't get regular iced tea. Now, I can't get regular coffee. And where are you people going to stop? Soon enough, cake. It's going to taste like candy corn, and steaks are going to taste like liver, and liver is going to taste like vanilla. Where will it end? Well, I say it ends here, and I say it ends now. I want my coffee to taste like coffee, and the next guy that fires up a pot of macadamia nut is going to get it thrown in his face like that movie History of Violence, and then I'll smash you over the head with the carafe. I'm going to hurt my plate. That's it. Well, there you go, everybody. Now, after you go to AdamCarolla.com and you vote, we will narrow it down to the Elite Eight. We'll have our brackets worked out. I don't know how everyone is doing thus far. I know Brian is taking a hit. Assistant Jay is doing well. Mike, hanging tough. Leader in the clubhouse, yes? Feeling good about yourself. Again, you go to AdamCarolla.com, you vote, we'll announce the winner on Monday, and we'll keep moving just as the tourney moves along. Now, speaking of the show, we were talking to Mark Wahlberg earlier this morning. So early, as a matter of fact, I'm sure none of you who are listening now 3 hours later heard it. We found it to be entertaining and enlightening, so we've decided to replay it. Wow. We will hear that on our show next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Now, The Adam Carolla Show presents The Wisdom of Paula Abdul.
You guys just shake them out. Have fun.
Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
It'll be $157,000, please, for those 9 syllables.
Let me get this straight. She wants me to have fun with it?
Shake it out, have some fun. Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, is quickly turning into one of our finest actors.
And
is
by
on
the way,
the show.
No offense,
yes,
to Marky Mark. I expected a thing.
You expect
when you said, "Hey, Marky Mark," I expected it. Hey, I don't do that anymore, man.
Yeah.
No, that's another one.
Oh,
you know,
he was
that
cool.
Whole thing. He's very cool.
He was cool. Only Vanilla Ice.
Somebody just said that to me.
Still has an
yesterday.
Attitude about that. He's such a talent, I guess you can get away with it.
I forget where it was, but somebody yelled out Danny Partridge, and I got the guy next to me said, "Are you just going to take that?" And I went, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't call me effing Danny Partridge.
Well, that was the old Vanilla Ice. The real Vanilla Ice looks like Fred Durst from 2001.
Vanilla Ice challenged me to a fight on Surreal Life.
No, but please kill him for me.
I saw him at a coffee shop afterwards, and I go, "Now's your shot, big boy. Stand up, take a shot at the title."
Mm-hmm.
And he sat there, and I said, "Beg me not to kill you in front of your friends, or I'm going to rip you apart right now."
And he did
said, "Please, please, I'm sorry. I was just TV. I'm sorry." I said, "All right, bye."
The interesting part of that story is which title.
It's just an expression. I say it about everything. Want to shout out the title?
We are going to take a shot at playing this Mark Wahlberg interview we did about 3.5 hours ago on the show. I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah. And please enjoy little Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg is on the phone.
King of improv. Improv and abs.
Mark.
What's up, man? Danny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you been?
I am not kissing your ass when I tell you that I got a call. Now, I don't know if you know who Bill Simmons, the ESPN sports guy, is, but yeah. most white guys who are into sports read his column on ESPN. Uh-huh. I came home yesterday. There was a message on my answering machine that said, "Hey, Ace, how about we go see Shooter at Cinerama Dome tomorrow? 11:30 And I said, I'm in. And it was Bill Simmons, the sports guy. And we will beat the Cinerama Dome. As a matter of fact, we will beat the 220 showing at the Cinerama Dome because Bill bumped it back. He had a deadline to meet. So I will be watching your movie Shooter in about 7 hours at the Cinerama Dome.
Awesome.
You know, I made kind of an obvious gag when I answered the phone. What were we talking? Improv and abs. And first of all, I'd like to apologize because I'll bet you get that all the time from those Calvin Klein ads. Are you thrilled to be taken as seriously as you are now? Did you expect to be taken as one of the top serious actors working right now?
I didn't. And, you know, I certainly knew because of, you know, coming from the music world and the brief modeling stint that it would be an uphill battle. But, Danny, all I ever wanted to do was be good. So I just focused one job at a time, and I tried to commit 110%. I didn't try to balance the music and the acting thing. This is what I wanted to do. And, you know, I didn't use it as fuel. I just said, okay, if I get the opportunities, because I got a lot of real-life experience, and I was very good at BSing my way in and out of trouble. And, you know, I just felt like those were the essential tools to acting.
So by separating it, you've sold 12 million pairs of underwear, 12 million albums, and hopefully 140 million pairs of tickets.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
You're doing a fine job, mister.
Well, I do remember with some years back when I was doing Loveline, and we had what's-her-name in there talking about boogie nights. Heather Graham.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Well, you got a crush on Heather Graham?
Man, no, but when she took that dress, that one piece off with the roll.
That was replayed not only on my TiVo, but in my mind. Many times.
Greatest hits.
But when she said, she was talking about another movie. This was 6 months before Boogie Nights came out. And I said, well, what else do you got coming up? And she said, well, I got another movie called Boogie Nights where I play Roller Girl with Burt Reynolds and Mark Wahlberg. And I said, Burt Reynolds, who just finished Cop and a Half, by the way. Marky Mark is the Funky Bunch in this one, too. And I was laughing, saying, you got to fire your agent. And this is probably the way people thought about Mark Wahlberg just a few short years ago.
A few years ago, yeah.
Right. Before
I certainly can put myself in that position to understand exactly where they're coming from.
Right. Right, but now it
Oscar
is a different
nominated.
Day. And
Oscar nominated, that's right.
As long as we're keeping the ass kiss train a rolling, I love Entourage as well. And want you to know.
Can we get you guys on the show, Danny? Can we get you guys on the show?
It's cool with me, man.
I'll tell you.
I do TV water cooler. I'll do anything.
the Mark, the closest I ever came to strangling my agent is, I think, about 9 or 10 months ago. He called and said, oh, by the way, they wanted you to play one of the guy's best friends, but I passed on it because I knew you were too busy at the time, so I just told him no. And I was like, when we play Vincent's best buddy? Yeah, but they were filming in Malibu, and it was a full week, and I know your schedule wouldn't take it, so I just passed on it. That was like a month ago.
That was why I was pretending I didn't know who you were at the LAPD golf tournament when your girl came up to me and said, hey, you want to talk to Adam Carolla? Because yes. We felt a little diss, but no, you know, people think that, you know, we're going to, you know, to try to portray them in some sort of negative way. But, I mean, when we ask people to do it, it's only because we love them. We're big fans.
Hey, Mark.
Legitimacy to the show.
Mark, yeah. I defy you to try and treat me in some kind of undignified way.
Well, Mark,
I dare you.
Who would you have Danny Bonaducci play on Entourage?
You know, we'd probably write in something special for him. I'm going to call those guys later on today, because if he would like to do it.
I'd suggest fighting me. and have me, like, all this rap I do about being sober and everything, I'd have it be crap that I'm drunk all the time and just sober up long enough to do shows.
It writes itself.
Listen, this is uncomfortable, but I kind of had my heart set on playing Bonaducci myself.
You can do it. You're a little tall, but you can do it.
Can I ask a Marky Mark a question about his the bad old days? There's a story out today that you and your buddies stole the same car 15 different times.
Yeah, well, what happened was...
sounded 12 years old just then. Well, no, what happened was...
Yeah, we stole this guy's car the first time. We busted the tilt steering, and, you know, we'd leave it in the neighborhood. We lived in the same neighborhood, and he'd get it back. He never got it fixed. So we would come down in the morning and take it, you know, but we'd always put gas and stuff in it. We'd try to hide it in the neighborhood, and he'd find it, and it just kept going back and forth.
That's more borrowing.
Can I make this observation, because I never met anyone from that part of the country until about 5-6 years ago.
Boston?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I started running into all these Boston guys. A lot of the guys wrote over at Kimmel. The aforementioned Bill Simmons is a Bostonian guy.
Yeah.
It's another guy I'm going to watch the movie with today. He's a writer named Kevin Hinch, who's from that area. And all of a sudden, the last few years of my life, I've met a ton. I'm from North Hollywood, Mark, so I never met anyone. You know, Van Nuys was about as far as I'd ever met anyone from. And I would ask them to tell me stories of this mythical Van Nuys. Yeah.
That's the Venice of the Valley.
And they'd be like, we have a 101 freeway. They're like, we have a 101 freeway. But the thing is the Boston guys, and I also figured this out when me and Kimmel went to the Super Bowl when the Rams got beat by the Patriots a few years back. I'm sure you're still enjoying that.
Oh, yeah.
I realized that Boston guys are a weird mixture of evil but smart, which is the blue-collar guys I grew up with are stupid, and they'll punch you in the face. The Boston guys will punch you in the face and then make you feel bad on the way down with a quick verbal tongue lashing. What is that combination of smart and physical? Because usually you either have your Neanderthal or you have the guys who will slice you up with their tongue, but they're not much good with their fists.
Well, that's why I've always said, you know, I don't know why I was the only one so far to come out of my neighborhood, because they're all quick-witted. They're all tough. I mean, everybody I know, my sister is tough. You know, my sister will punch you in the face.
I know. She has a mean right, dude.
It's
It's so weird, because when I came out to L.A., that's why I got into so many altercations outside of Boston, because I assumed everybody was the same way.
No. Right. There are very few hitters anymore.
Looking at you, you know, you better get them before they get you.
Right. I'll tell you the difference in every Super Bowl I've been to. Is after the Patriots won, you see, when the Rams won, all the people from St. Louis wanted to celebrate. Uh-huh. When the Patriots won the next year, all the people from Boston wanted to make fun of the guys that lost.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the difference. All right, Paramount is calling us and telling us you must be going to plug Shooter.
But that's also us acknowledging we know this is not your fault and you'd like to stay with us all day.
I'm sure.
But I am having a lot of fun. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, anytime, Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg. I will be seeing Shooter. I will be seeing it today. Mm.
2:00 at the Cinerama.
Well, you really will be seeing it today.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Diary, guess who's going? Guess what C-list celebrity's going to see Shooter with me? It's the Ace-Man! Ace-Man!
Does Bill Simmons mind your impression of him?
I don't know if he's ever...
No, Dear Diary, I don't like it when the Ace-Man makes fun of me on his radio show. Oh, addendum. Dear Diary, I invented mixing M&M's with the popcorn. I call it a Tiger Woods.
No, last time we saw a movie, he did tell me he invented mixing M&M's with popcorn. All right, Bill, we'll see you in about 5 hours. We'll be right back with a little more to go on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, that is that.
Look, I was just checking my flight plans, man.
You're heading to...
Portland, Oregon. UFO, a big affiliate. I think we are number one now.
Please keep it real.
Don't worry, dude.
I beg of you to keep it real.
You're going to hate what I'm wearing for the gym class I'm teaching, but after that, I keep it real. I'm gayer than the guys in dodgeball.
Please put that on a cart. We'll replay that ad nauseum come Monday. Speaking of nauseum, Joel McHale.
Yeah.
I want to thank him for doing a great job. The Soup, everybody. Also, Mark Wahlberg, Shooter.
Yeah.
Out now. And let's not forget Crank Anchors, kiddies, MTV2 tonight, 10 o'clock. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I'm not a pervert, but I'm curious.